Hello and welcome to Red Price Stadium on the campus of Plainfield High School. My name is Lex Zord and I'll be bringing you all the action as your Plainfield Quakers challenge the Martinsville Artesians in week 9 of the Indiana high school football season. Well, it's been a very good season overall for your Quakers who entered this game with a record of 6-2, but the last three games have been a roller coaster of highs and lows. 2 weeks ago, they played their best game of the season, a near state championship caliber performance. But the week before and the week after, they suffered their only two losses of the season and were particularly disappointing last week. Back in week 1, the Quakers went down 13-0 at Terre Haute South before coming back to lead 17-13 at the half and winning 32-13. Then in their home opener against Harrison in a rematch of last year's playoff opener, the Quakers went down 14-0 before coming back to win 15-14. Back on the road in week 3, Plainfield saved us from the usual tension, cruising to a comfortable 31-15 win and breaking a 5-game losing streak to the Pioneers. The Quakers then returned home for their only two-game homestand of the regular season. In week 4, they were given a scare by recently improved Perry Meridian, but held on for a 21-20 win on a missed 30-yard field goal attempt on the Falcons' last possession. At home again in week 5, Plainfield overcame a scare against much improved Greenwood. The Quakers led only 22-20 in the third quarter and looked like they were losing their momentum when the game turned on a successful fake punt on 4th and 10 at their own 33. From there, they closed out the game with 24 unanswered points, winning 46-20, moving to 5-0 for the first time in 17 years, and moving up to number 4 in the AP poll in Class 5A. In Week 6, at arch rival Decatur Central, Plainfield led 23-9 in the third quarter, but a roughing the kicker penalty on a punt kept a Hawks possession alive and changed the momentum of the game. Decatur Central closed with 17 unanswered points, capped off by a 49-yard field goal from Ashton Vogel for a 26-23 win, avenging a heartbreaking loss in last year's sectional championship game. That loss seemed to fire up the Quakers, who returned home the next week and were awesome in a dominating 38-3 win over Franklin, a game that was played with a running clock for almost the entire second half. That made us hopeful that the team had overcome its problems and it would be smooth sailing the rest of the way. But they took a step backward last week when they visited a painfully familiar opponent, the Whiteland Warriors. Though the Warriors had won 12 of their last 13 games against the Quakers, including the last 6 in the series, Whiteland entered the game at 3-4. After losing the Class 5A state championship game last year to Valparaiso 35-31, only one of the Warriors' top 5 rushers from that team is currently playing, junior Slate Valentine. But after Plainfield won the coin toss and elected to receive, Whiteland opened with an onside kick and recovered. Then on their first drive, Dane Coons scored on a 2-yard rush with 8:34 to go in the first quarter, and Noah Pope kicked the extra point, making it 7-0. On Plainfield's ensuing possession, they turned the ball over on downs at the Whiteland 35, and the Warriors threatened to take a 2-touchdown lead, but they turned the ball over on downs at the Plainfield 6. At that point, the Quakers' offense got on track and scored on a 27-yard touchdown pass from Hunter Newell to Caden Vanderbush, and Brandon Hendry rushed into the 2-point conversion, giving Plainfield an 8-7 lead with 6:21 to go in the second quarter. After a 30-yard field goal attempt by Hayob later in the second quarter was blocked. And each team punted on their first possession of the third quarter, Franklin got the lead with 7:18 to go in the quarter on a 19-yard rush by Jordan Palmer. Valentine rushed for a 2-point conversion, making it 15-8. Then, amazingly, Franklin attempted and recovered a second onside kick and took firm control of the game on a 20-yard touchdown rush by Valentine with 11:21 to go in the fourth quarter. Ethan Boone kicked the extra point, making it 22-8. Plainfield returned the ensuing kickoff to the Whiteland 30 and was about to make it a one-possession game, but Luke Starnes fumbled at the 1, and the Warriors recovered in the end zone. Neither team scored again. By taking away 2 possessions from Plainfield via the recovered onside kicks, Whiteland was able to play the way they wanted, sustaining long drives with almost no passing, staying in bounds, and running big chunks of time off the clock while keeping the Quakers' offense off the field. Whiteland amazingly ran 29 more offensive plays than did Plainfield, 68-39. Valentine led the way with 27 rushes for 201 yards and a touchdown. The loss dropped Plainfield 4 notches to number 10 in this week's AP poll for Class 5A. Tonight in the regular season finale and on their senior day, Plainfield will try to get back on track as they host the Martinsville Artesians, a 4A team who enters the game with a record of 5-3. Martinsville started off the season with a 23-19 win over Bedford North Lawrence, then lost to Bloomington 35-6 and Greenwood 43-28. Since then, however, the Artesians have won 4 of the last 5. They got a 25-24 upset win over Decatur Central and beat Franklin 32-14, lost to Whiteland 34-22, beat Prairie Meridian 37-31, and beat Mooresville 38-35. Now, so far this season, Plainfield has rushed 230 times and passed 187 times, a ratio of 1.23 to 1. Senior Hunter Newell has been very understated and efficient all season, establishing himself as a solid Division I prospect. He's completed 109 out of 185 passes, 58.9%, for 1,171 yards, 11 touchdowns, and only 1 interception. His leading receiver is junior Jameer Bowie, who's having a breakout season with 33 receptions for 365 yards and 5 touchdowns. Close behind is senior Caden Vanderbush, bound for Western Michigan University. He has 24 receptions for 336 yards and 4 touchdowns. In addition, he has a 99-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. Senior Isaiah Miller, though sometimes lost in the shadow of Bowie and Vanderbush, has had a very good season in his own right with 29 receptions for 290 yards and 1 touchdown. On the ground, the Quakers are led by arguably their MVP, sophomore Luke Starnes, who has 148 rushes for 796 yards and 11 touchdowns. He's also getting solid backup help from senior Carter Ferguson, with 24 rushes for 240 yards and 2 touchdowns, and junior Weston Weyrich, with 15 rushes for 99 yards and 2 touchdowns. Newell has also rushed well, totaling 34 rushes for 132 yards and 1 touchdown. Meanwhile, Martinsville has rushed 294 times and passed 174 times, a ratio of 1.69 to 1. They're led by junior quarterback A.J. Reynolds, a major college prospect. He's completed 101 of 155 passes, a stellar 65.2%, for 1,294 yards, 14 touchdowns, and 9 interceptions. He has a core of 3-star receivers led by junior Hunter Stroud, with 55 receptions for 686 yards and 6 touchdowns, sophomore Jace LaFerry with 22 receptions for 408 yards and 7 touchdowns, and sophomore Mason Dodson with 11 receptions for 211 yards and 1 touchdown. The Artesians have only one significant rusher, but he's having a very good season. Senior Braden Schrake has 266 yards for 1,247 yards and 9 touchdowns. Head coach for Plainfield is Tyler Bless, who's 6-2 in his first season with the Quakers. Head coach for Martinsville is Brian Duggar, who's 25-14 in his fourth season with the Artesians. Well, at this time, we'll take a short break for a few words from our sponsors, and then we'll be back for the opening kickoff. Plainfield Martinsville regular season finale coming at you live under the Friday Night Lights. Next. This broadcast of Plainfield High School football on audiosportsonline.com is made possible by the generous donations of our sponsors. We would like to recognize them and encourage you to support them. DJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Gannell Financial, Remax Centerstone Julia Burbridge, Midwest Pizza, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design and Holly Porter, My IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, Ellison Associates Remax, Chipotle, Double D BBQ, and Double D BBQ, Double D Barbecue. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Plainfield, we're just a few minutes away from kickoff. Unfortunately, we have a little rain here in Plainfield that started in the last hour or so. For those of you who missed it in the sound check earlier, we have a 100% chance of rain during the 7 o'clock hour, and then about a 50 or 60% during the next 2 hours. So likely it will be a wet game. Not pleased with that. The good news is it is warm for this time of year. And that we will pause for the national anthem. Hold on. I'll hold that thought. Well, thank you to Plainfield for that lovely rendition of the national anthem. It was a recording tonight. I guess they didn't want the band going out and performing in this rain. But anyway, we've got lower than average crowd. We've had outstanding crowds all year. The best crowds I ever remember seeing in my 12 years here with Plainfield. However, it looks like the rain is keeping some people away tonight. It's unfortunate, especially here on Senior Day. You know, Senior Day for me as a high school football commentator, is always a very special day for me. Even when, you know, Plainfield is playing another team at their Senior Day, because I just have such great respect for the dedication that all these student athletes put into these programs. You know, these kids, If you're a fan of a high school football team, a lot of times you don't take notice of a kid often until he's a sophomore or a junior, sometimes not even until he's a senior. But these kids, you know, especially in football, they start very young. They start around third grade in youth football. One of the biggest keys to having a winning high school football program is having a good youth program. Having some strong little leagues, where the kids are taught the game, where they're taught teamwork, where they build a chemistry with each other. And then, obviously, you know, you got the 7th and 8th grade teams, the freshman teams, the junior varsity team. And all of those are parts that, you know, they're all like different spokes on the same wheel, you know. They all feed into the varsity program, to the varsity team. And you know, even when Plainfield is the visiting team on their opponent's senior day, in any sport, you know, I'm always, you know, my heart, of course, obviously, I always want Plainfield to win, but, you know, my heart goes out to the seniors, you know, on the other team, too, knowing what they put into the program. And I try to always remember to mention all of the seniors by name, you know, every time they play their last game of the season. I do forget a lot, but I try to remember to do it. I think it's very important. And so anyway, right now the weather is mixed. It's 71 degrees, which is the warmest temperature I ever remember for their last regular season game here in my 12 years of commentating high school football. Usually it's good if it's 60 degrees on that day, but here I am sitting here in a short sleeve shirt. this might be the first season I've ever worn a short sleeve shirt every game of the regular season. I assume I probably will not 2 weeks from tonight at the playoff opener at Harrison, which I will be talking to you about a lot more later in the evening, both at halftime and the postgame segment. But anyway, despite the warm temperature, however, it is raining. Like I said, we have a 100% chance of rain during the 7 o'clock hour, according to the weather app on my son's and my iPhone. And then, I think he said 50% chance at the 8 o'clock hour, 60% at the 9 o'clock hour. So likely to be a wet game. The one good thing about it is that does play into our favor, because we're the team that relies less on our passing offense. We do, of course, have a strong passing offense, as does Martinsville. However, we have a superior rushing offense. So we likely will be able to better adapt to the rain. So anyway, it's very important that Plainfield not only get a win tonight, but play a good game. You know, I want to see 48 good minutes. This is our last tune-up for the playoffs, this is our last tune-up for the playoffs, which begin 2 weeks from tonight. Our opponent is Harrison. In their view, we are a very painfully familiar opponent to them, because we've beaten them twice in the last year. We broke their hearts with a fourth quarter comeback in the playoffs last year. They led 28-21 going into the fourth quarter. We scored two late touchdowns. They lost two fumbles in the fourth quarter. They knew that they contributed to their own demise. They're sore about that. Then, to make matters worse, they led us 14-0 in week two in the regular season this year here at Plainfield. We came back to beat them 15-14. So they're going to be running and gunning for us and trying to beat us in the worst way. So we better be ready. And, of course, we have two more weeks of practices heading into that game. But it's important that we finish, you know, we don't want to go into the playoff with only one win in our last four games. So, you know, especially, you know, since last week was our worst game of the season. So now, kicking off 7 o'clock sharp. Nobody wants to be here for 3 hours in this rain. Martin Zorich sees the opening kickoff. It's taken right at the 1, brought up to the 10, 15. 20. He's got a hole, 30. We better catch him for 40. And he's pushed out of bounds close to midfield. So, not a good start to the game for Plainfield. We better clamp down. The rain is not very heavy, Martinsville should be able to function, you know, at least for now with their passing offense. A.J. Reynolds is their quarterback. He wears number 4. He's a junior. Good shots to be a Division I player. He's putting up very good statistics. Great size, 6'4", 180. Probably needs about 20 pounds of muscle. But anyway, he lines up with one running back, two receivers to the left, one to the right. Hands off to Braden Schrake, who gets up for about 4 yards. Braden Schrake, you know, is having a very good season, but he is... he's their only significant rusher. So they, he gets about 4, so now it's second down here. They give Schrake credit for 4. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Schrake the running back. Reynolds in shotgun. No score here in the last game of the regular season. Schrake again. And, he's hit at the line, but he breaks through and he's got a first down past midfield, past the 40 up to about the 37. So Braden Schrake, that's a pickup there of about, 60 yards. So Schrake has carried the first two plays, for 20 yards. So two receivers now to the left, one to the right, Riddles and shotgun. Schrake 5'11", 5'11", 210. 13 on the play clock, 10:51 to go and counting here in the first quarter. No score, Plainfield versus Martinsville. Now Schrake gets it again, and he breaks through the line, gets about 5 or 6. So now with the attention that, you know, we're going to have to give Shrake, that's going to probably leave some receivers open as Shrake picks up five there. So two receivers to the left, one to the right. Reynolds in shotgun. Martinsville, the most passing-oriented team that we've played all season. We'll see how we respond to that. But despite that, three plays, three rushes so far for a total of 25 yards all by Braden Shrake. And Shrake gets it again, but this time we're ready for him. We bring him down for a loss. All right. So Martinsville, no pun intended, the Artesians went to the well one too many times. So that'll bring that, certainly that changes it to third and eight, and that changes the perception of this drive, although the Artesians likely in four down territory. So two receivers to the right, one to the left. So snap, and now he's gets a pass off, and he's brought down for a pickup of about six or seven. It's going to be a little short of the first down. So Reynolds does complete his first pass for about 5 yards. I believe that was Shrake on the reception, too. And now fourth and three at the 30, so they didn't get quite as... I thought he was inside the 30, but... And now 6 seconds on the play clock. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Two, one, they finally get it off. And it takes the handoff to Shrake. Screen pass, and he's got it for the first down. So that's a pickup of six, and the Artesians have a first and 10 at the 24. So Reynolds has completed his first two passes for 11 yards. So two receivers to the left, one to the right. Shrake in the running back. Pitch back to Shrake now, and we're right on top of him, and we stop him for a gain of about two or three. So Shrake already five carries here in the first 4 minutes. Pick up about three there. So second and seven now for the Artesians at the Plainfield 21. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Shrake the running back, Reynolds in shotgun. And now a handoff to Shrake again, and this time he gets up for, it's going to be third close to the first down. So pick him up six, and we'll bring up third and one. So I already have Shrake six for 28 here. Third and one at the 15 now, 7:38 to go. We don't want to go down early like we did last week, in the loss at Whiteland. Now hands off to Shrake again. He does get the first down and about three or four more. It's going to be it down to the 10 or 11. Seven carries already for Shrake. Very tough kid. Should be playing college ball a year from now. With his size, he should be very good in short yardage situations. The first and 10 at the 10 now. After five by Shrake, he's 7 for 33 by my count now. 7:16 to go. And that was your movement at the line, but no call. 11 now at the play clock. So Martinsville using a lot of time on the play clock in this game. Now down to 5. And now handoff. And now fix the handoff. And it throws. And it's incomplete. Ferguson nearly had the interception, but it never passes broken up. So it'll be second and goal at the 10 for Martinsville. Still no score. First incompletion of the game for Reynolds. 6:59 to go. Clock stopped one of the few times so far in this game. 7:07 your time of day. So Martinsville really taking its time. Two receivers now to the right, one to the left. And now hand up there to Strake. They're right on top of him, and he's brought down for about two. Already eight carries in the early going for Strake. They give him credit for two, so he's 8 for 35, about four and a, just under 4.5 yards to carry. That's right around his average on the season. So third and goal at the 8 for the Artesians. Two receivers now to the right, one to the left. Reynolds in shotgun. Strake, Strake is their only rusher who has positive yardage on the season. So it's likely he'll be getting a whole load of tackle, a whole load of carries tonight. And it's thrown in, throws into the end zone incomplete. So fourth and goal at the 8. So now Martinsville's kicker. Let's see. Martinsville's kicker is Charlie Rollins. He's 5 of 6 on field goals on the season with a long of 30. This would be a 25 yarder. There's a little rain, but not a lot, so I don't think that's going to be a big factor in this field goal attempt. The snap. It is no good, white left. So Plainfield dodges a bullet. Martinsville gets the opening kickoff, consumes nearly half of the first quarter. Plainfield finally clamps down enough to force the field goal attempt and the miss. That's only the second miss of the year for Rollins. He is a sophomore, so still two more years to grow and improve. So now Plainfield, with their first offensive possession of the game. Plainfield taking over at the 20. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Now a handoff, and Starnes gets it, and he gets up about 3 or 4. Luke Starnes was contained last week, and for the first time all season did not score a touchdown in a game. Gets 3 on that one to start off the offense for the Quakers. So two receivers to the right, one to the left. Two running backs now. Newell's in the shotgun. And now he gets rid of it. He gets rid of it. So it's going to be 3rd and 7 on Plainfield's first possession of the game. They don't want to start off. They don't want to start off. They don't want to start off 3 and out on their first possession, although at least it's still an even score, 0-0. Martinsville's, and now Vanderbush lines up to the left, three receivers to the right, one running back. 3rd and 7, Newell takes it, screen pass, completed the start, he's got the first down to Moore, knocked out of bounds, stretch side to 35, all right. So 10 yards there on the pass from Newell to Starnes. So now hands off Starnes again, and he weaves around looking for something, gets about 2. Going to be, they give him credit for 2 yards there. So 2nd and 8 for the Quakers. Glad they didn't move the chains. So now, screen pass completed to Miller, and he tackled about 2 yards short of the first down. So Newell has completed 2 passes in a row now. Miller, a senior, who's had a quietly effective season. That's his 30th reception. He only has one touchdown on the season, but he does have 30 receptions, including that one. Give him credit for 7 there. So 3rd and 1 at their own 42 for the Quakers. Starnes gets it. He's got the first and more up to about the right around the 50. So starts with his first carry, with his first rush of the game, and his longest. They give him credit for eight on that one. I have him 3 for 13. Very fast moving game, 7:12 your time of day, nearly 8 minutes into this one. Two receivers each side now, starts the running back, Newell. Screen pass to Vanderbush, and it's broken up. So the clock stops now, 4:07 to go. So Plainfield now, 2nd and 10 at the 50. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Starnes the running back. Newell hands off to Starnes, but they're ready for him. And he's dropped for a loss. So I think he's going to be brought down for about two. Bringing up 3rd and long for the Quakers. In a more critical situation, they would likely be in 4-down territory here. I think at this point, they would probably punt if they did not make the first down, unless they get within a yard or two. So a 3-yard loss there by Luke Starnes, only a sophomore, arguably the MVP of this team. 2 to each side now. 2 receivers each side. Starnes the running back, Newell in shotgun, takes the snap, drops back, throws it, and he's got now, and it's just he went over to Vanderbush. A little too far to the left. 4th and 13, the Quakers send their punting unit onto the field. Newell has completed 2 of his first 5 passes, 17 yards. And now the Quakers, after picking up 2 first downs, set to punt here. And I don't mind the punt so much here. You know, the main thing right now is try to pin the Artesians inside their own 20, preferably inside their 10. And make them sustain drive. And it's a long snap, but he does get the punt off. And it's a fair catch taken at the 17. So Martinsville does start, you know, start their second drive inside their own 20. Wow. 7:15, and we've run nearly 9 minutes off this game so far. I expect it's going to be a short game tonight, because I think both teams, we got a fairly steady downpour now, which certainly has affected the attendance tonight. When I saw that the forecast was in the 70s for tonight, I thought, oh, great, we're going to have a packed house. But right now, it looks like we've got, you know, about half of the usual crowd here at Plainfield because of the rain that we're expected to have, you know, possibly throughout the game. So now, a strike again on Martinsville's ensuing possession, and he gets over to the right and picks up about 7 or so, maybe 8. Give him credit for 8. So 2nd and 2 for the Artesians. 2:55 to go here in the first quarter. No score here in this regular season finale. 2 receivers to the left now, 1 to the right. Braden Strake, the only rusher of any significance from Martinsville. He takes again, and he might have the first down. It's going to be close. Already 10 carries on the game for Braden Strake. And even though Martinsville third and 2, so he just got right around back to the line of scrimmage. So very big a play for the Quakers defense. It'd be great to induce Martinsville to punt here. 2 receivers now to the right, 1 to the left. And now hand up there to Strake. He does have the first down, and more. He comes through on the right side, gets up too shy of the 30. Sets a pickup of about 4 yards. Already 11 carries here in the first quarter. So Braden Strake is on pace to carry about 50 times in this game. Picks up 4 there. 11 for 47. So that averaged just under 4.5 a carry, which is about what he averaged on the season. So two receivers to the right, one to the left, strike the running back. A.J. Reynolds, a great passer, but not likely to throw a lot in these rain conditions. He gives it to Shrake again, and he gets about 6 or 7. 1:24 to go. And so they give him credit for 6 there. Shrake, a very, very tough kid. Some movement at the line, but no flag. 18 on the play clock. Martinsville team's content to, you know, milk the clock tonight, maybe thinking that pay for that increase per camp. So Shrake gets it again. He does have the first down and maybe one more. So the clock will stop to move the chain. 51.4 seconds to go in the quarter now. Give him credit for 5. 13 for 58 now for Braden Shrake. So two receivers to the right, one to the left. Martinsville running about the same formation on every play. Gives it to Shrake again, and he's got a little bit of room. He gets up to about the 44 or 45. That'll likely be the last play of the first quarter. Give him another 5. That brings up 2nd and 5 at the Martinsville 45. And the Ephesians line up, and they might. I think they're just trying to draw Plainfield offside. Yeah. So that's it. After one quarter of play, in only 19 minutes, no score here between Plainfield and Martinsville. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors on AudioSportsOnline.com. This broadcast of Plainfield High School football on AudioSportsOnline.com is made possible by the generous donations of our sponsors. We would like to recognize them and encourage you to support them. They are CJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Gunnell Financial, Remax Centerstone, Julia Burbridge, Midwest Pizza, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design and Holly Porter, My IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, Ellison Associates Remax, Chipotle, and Double D Barbecue. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Plainfield, where we just completed the first quarter in a mere 19 minutes, still no score here in the regular season finale between your Plainfield Quakers playing on their senior day and the visiting Martinsville Artesians. Plainfield entering the game ranked number 10 here in Class 5A. They've been ranked as high as number 4 this year, but they've dropped after 2 losses in their last 3 games, their first 2 losses of the season. Martinsville entering at 5-3, but having won 4 of their last 5. So now 2nd and 5 for the Artesians at their own 45. Braden Shrake gets the ball again. This time he's run to the line of scrimmage, cross forward for maybe 2. Shrake already 15 carries in this game. Because of the rainy conditions, and he picks up 2 there. Because of the rainy conditions, he will likely be getting the ball a lot tonight. He is a senior, should be playing college ball a year from now. So 3rd and 3 at the 3rd and 3 for Martinsville at their own 47. 16 on the play clock. It's a low snap, but he gets it. He fakes it. And now it's the heat keeper there inside the 40, inside the 35, inside the 25, 20, 15, 10, and he's knocked out of bounds around the 5. Oh, my God, what a fake. And now he's got a flag. Let's see what that's all about. But, yeah, that's an amazing by Reynolds, who has negative yards on the season rushing, but he picks up close to 50 there. He totally faked out the Quakers. Well, that's a great call there by the Artesians. Let's see where they mark him. So late hit against the Quakers. That's half the distance to the goal. That won't matter much here. They'll be just going to beat about 2 yards. Let's see where they mark this. Wow. Great call there by the Artesians. Wow. So that's a 47 yards there by A.J. Reynolds in his first rush of the game. So now one receiver to the left, two to the right. Strake, the running back. First and goal at the three for Martinsville. 11-16 going to the second quarter. Low snap. But there's a fumble. There's a fumble. Let's see. Still no signal. Martinsville tried to dive on it. No signal yet. And Plainfield's got it. Plainfield's got it. Yes. Oh, my God. Plainfield very lucky not to be down 14-0 right now. Martinsville's first drive got all the way down to the five. They ended up losing 3 yards and then missed a field goal. Now they lose a fumble when they had it first and goal at the three following that incredible rush by Reynolds. So Plainfield's got to take advantage of this. You know, there's pretty heavy rain now. The important thing is just take your time. It doesn't matter if you score in one play or 20. Just score. Score and induce Martinsville to pass a lot more than they want to. Make them play from behind. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. One running back. And now hands off. Starks gets it. He's up, and he's past the 10 up to about the 11, so decent start to the drive for the Quakers. Starnes gets about 5 there, so it'll be 2nd and 5 for the Quakers. 11:04 to go here in the quarter. The clock has stopped. I am not sure why. Okay, there's a flag that I missed. I apologize for that. So it's going to be, against the Quaker, holding against the Quakers, it looks like. So that'll be half the distance to the goal. So bad break there. 11:04 to go, still no score. 11:04 to go in the second quarter. The first quarter was played in only 19 minutes. It's going to be probably a very heavily rushing game because we have pretty heavy rain now. Very well could have it the whole game. So two receivers now to the left, one to the right. One running back, Newell. First and 11 now at the 5. Starnes gets it, and he's brought down for maybe a gain of 1, not much. 10:46 to go and counting. Now Starnes averages 34 rushes per game on the season. He's on pace to get more than that tonight. But anyway, back to action here at Plainfield as Starnes gets one. We got some movement of the line, and we got a flag. Hopefully it'll be against the Arcadians. We can use any extra yards we can get right now. Yards are going to be probably a lot harder to come by than usual tonight because of the weather. I think we have about 1,000 Quakers fans here tonight, about 200 Martinsville, maybe 300 Martinsville fans across the field in the visiting bleachers. We would probably have a packed house under normal circumstances. So now Plainfield gets 5 yards there, 2nd and 5 at the 11 here. So low snap, and he gets it over to Starnes. Starnes gets up, but he gets maybe only about 2. It'll be about 3rd and 3. This is probably going to be one of the quickest games I've ever commentated. They only give Starnes credit for 1. I was hoping he'd get a slightly better spot, but anyway. 3rd and 4 now. Really need to get this first down here. So we don't want to punt. First of all, it's dangerous to punt with a wet ball like this. So much can go wrong, but anyway. And it's a fumble. Starnes, the snap, it was a bad snap. Starnes takes it back to the 1. And so the Quakers apparently will be punting from the back of their own end zone. So Martinsville likely will be taking over an excellent field position. We better be ready. A lot of pressure is going to be on the Quakers' defense here. Remember, the Artesians got inside the Plainfield 10 on their first two possessions, came away with no points. missed field goal, and a lost fumble. So the Quakers punting from the back of the end zone. He does get the punt off. It does make a good playing field bounce past the 40, up to about the 42 or 43. So it could have been a heck of a lot worse. As it is, turns out to be a net punt of about 40, 41 yards. So could have been a disaster there. Now still, Plainfield's going to have to play tough defense here. The Quakers have not moved the ball well. I thought Martinsville, you know, would be more hurt by the rain, but so far it's the Quakers who've been struggling the most to move the ball. So first and 10 at the Plainfield 42 for Martinsville to start up the drive. And now Shrake gets it, and he's up for about 5 or 6. About 6 there for Shrake. I have him 16 for 71. Come on, boys. Let's get a stop here. Second and 4 at the Plainfield 36 for Martinsville. Still no score. 8:25 to go and counting here in the second quarter under fairly heavy rain. Shrake again. And then he gets some room on the left side. He's got the first down and more past the 25. Knocked out of bounds after a pickup of about 12. 8:14 to go, and the clock stops for one of the few times in this game so far. Give him credit for 13, so 17 for 84 here by my count for Braden Drake. First and 10 now for the Artesians at the Quaker 23. Still no score. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Under 10 at the play clock. Martinsville using up a lot of time tonight, probably trying to, you know, dominate time of possession. That certainly worked for Whiteland last week as they beat us. And now Shrake again, and this time he gets up for about 7. Again, Shrake averaging 34 carries a game on the season. He's on pace to do far more than that tonight. Picks up 7 there. 18 for 91 by my count. So two receivers now to the right, one to the left. Reynolds has thrown only 4 passes in the game. Martinsville has not even a 2-to-1 rush pass ratio, but tonight 19 rushes, 4 passes in the rain. So now two receivers to the right, one to the left. Hands off there to Shrake. This time they're ready for him, and he stopped for a gain of maybe 2. It's going to be just short of the first down. Boy, it'd be great to get a stop here. So let's see where they mark it here. There is a flag here. Personal foul against Plainfield, so automatic first down. Oh, gosh. So Plainfield and White, excuse me, Martinsville's gotten into the Plainfield 10 on all 3 of their possessions. First 2 times they came away with no points. Maybe third time will be a charm for them, but boy, we've got to do everything we can to make a stop here, especially because points are going to be very hard to come by in this game. So now, handoff to Drake, and he breaks a tackle, and he gets into the end zone for the touchdown. Oh, boy. So, with 7:17 to go in the second quarter, the Artesians get their first score of the game. Charlie Rollins on the season is 19 for 25 on extra points. The snap, and we got a whistle. It's whistled dead. It's whistled dead. False start against Martinsville. So now that'll back him up 5 yards. So that You know, that and that's why for a kicker such as Rollins, who doesn't seem to have a real strong leg, that 5 yards actually can make a big difference, not to mention all the things that can go wrong, you know, on any kind of a field goal or PAT attempt in heavy rain like this.
Damn.
The snap, there's a low snap. And now they try to run it, and throws it to the end zone, and it is knocked to the ground incomplete, but there's a flag. There's a flag, so let's see what it is. Let's see what the call is. So apparently it's against the Artesian, so in which case Plainfield, I assume, would decline, meaning it's a failed attempt, so it's only a 6-0 lead, so that means Plainfield, if they score a touchdown, would take the lead with any conversion. 7-17 to go here in the second quarter. And, you know, if Plainfield does lose this game, certainly there are mitigating circumstances, but at the same time, you know, you don't want to go into the playoffs, you know, having started off 5-0, but then, you know, losing 3 of your last 4 to close out the regular season. That doesn't mean that you can't still have a good playoff run, but certainly you want to go in with high morale. You want to go in running on all cylinders, playing your best football of the season. So we got to get something going here. First two Quakers drives, they have not done much. They did get 2 first downs on the first drive. But the thing is, we have not shown that we can contain Graydon Schrake. 20 carries, 100 yards, 1 touchdown. The only score of the game so far. 6-0 Martinsville lead. The Artesian's kicking off now. It's a squib. Taking about 13 on the bounce up to the 20. Vanderbush up to about the 25. So now the only thing, what I say, just be methodical. Take as much time as you need. Also remember, Plainfield does get the ball first to start the second half. So if we, you know, if we run off a few minutes, get a score to tie or take the lead, then, you know, I think we're in good shape. But the thing is, we've got to get something going on offense. We have not done much on offense so far. And just like Whiteland last week, the Artesians dominating time of possession so far in this game against us. So two receivers now to each side, no backfield. And now Newell hands off to Vanderbush. But it doesn't get anywhere, and he's brought down possibly even for a loss. So things looking bleak now, minus 2 on that rush by Vanderbush. So now Marcos Rivera lining up to the right. We've got 3 receivers lined up to the left. 1 running back, Newell in shotgun under a heavy rain here. Now a handoff. Starnes, this time he's got some room, and he's got up to about, and he breaks the tackle, gets up for about 9 yards. It's going to be 3rd and short. I think that's Starnes' best rush of the evening. That's his 7th. Let's see where they mark him. Nearly a quarter and a half into this game here, and they give him credit for 9. All right. So 3rd and 3, pretty manageable. 3rd and 3 for the Quakers now. 3 receivers now to the left, 1 to the right. We really need this first down here. 1 running back, Newell in shotgun. Hands off again. No, he takes it himself. I think he's got it by about a yard. Let's see. Newell on his first carry, on his first keeper of the game. Yes. Yeah, we got the first. All right, so we got a fresh set of downs there. After the 4-yard pickup by Hunter Newell, who's had some good moments on the ground this week, including a rushing touchdown against Terre Haute South. That gave us the lead for the first time in the that gave us the lead for the first time in that game. We went on to win. And now a handoff there to Starnes, and he gets up for about 5. So Plainfield's starting to get something going. 5:30 to go now in the half. We trail by a score of 6-0. Martinsville got a touchdown. The snap was mishandled in the heavy rain. The 2-point conversion failed. 2nd and 5 now at their own 41 for the Quakers. Bowie now lining up with another receiver on the right. Miller and Bowie on the right. Vanderbush on the left. Starnes the running back. Starnes gets it. And he goes, or left now, cuts forward. And he gets up for three or four. It's going to be third and short. As long we just need the 3.4 yards. You know, I know we're probably going to be very conservative on offense, you know, with the wet ball there. So Starnes gets four there, nine for 30 now. It's going to be third and one. Just get the first here, boys. So it looks like we got Bowie, yeah, Vanderbush to the left, Bowie and Miller to the right. Starnes the running back, Newland shotgun, 4:33 to go here in the second quarter, third and one. Starnes gets it. He's got the first down and about one more. So the Quakers move the chains for the second time on this drive. It's 4:25 to go and the clock will stop. Both teams still with all three timeouts as the Starnes picks up two there. First and 10 for the Quakers at their own 47. I believe this is the furthest they've been downfield tonight. Vanderbush to the left, Bowie and Miller to the right. Starnes in at running back. New Orleans shotgun, takes it, gives it to Starnes, and he looks for some room on the right, but he's brought down right around the line of scrimmage. Under 4 minutes to go now. Again, all three timeouts, so we don't have to hurry, but we do need to show some urgency because we're likely to be, you know, relying on short gains, short rushes to, you know, get the touchdown here. And no gain there by Starnes. 11 for 32 right now. He was pretty well contained, the best he's been contained all year last week in the loss at Whiteland. So two receivers. We've got Bowie and Vanderbush to the left. I believe it's Miller to the right. Starnes the running back. Newell fake throws, and he's got a completion there. And now to Hendry, and he's got a first in the playfield territory up to about the 37. All right, so Brandon Hendry there, a pickup of about 16 yards. So the Quakers, the deepest they've been all night into Quaker territory, only the sixth pass for Newell, 15 yards there. Hendry has several two-point conversions for us on the season. So first and 10 at the 38 now. And now we got a fumble, and I think we fell on it, so it's going to be a loss of down and about a one-yard loss. It's a risk in the wet, with the wet ball, so the clock is stopped now for whatever, I'm not sure why. I think the referee's driving the ball here. So second and 11, we lose one there on the play, but at least we keep the possession alive. 3:10 to go, second and 11 at the Martinsville second and 11 at the Martinsville 39. Martinsville 6, Plainfield 0. So, 3:08 to go, and the clock has stopped. Okay, so the clock now is reset to 3 minutes. So two receivers to the left, one to the right, one running back. Newell gets it to start. He's got three more on the right side, 35, and he fumbles. I don't, the loose ball. I can't tell who got it. And we got two late flags. So let's see what that is. The flags that I saw were well after the play, so I could not tell from my vantage point who recovered. We got three officials, or four officials, that looks like deliberating on the far side of the field. So it looks like it will be Martinsville ball. Oh, gosh. I mean, it's a risk in a wet game like this, you know. It's not an excuse. It's a fact. So apparently it's going to be, okay, personal foul against the Quakers. Very bad play because now Martinsville takes over almost in our territory at the 49. That is not good. Remember, we do get the ball first to start the second half. And our offense is, you know, was the best on that last drive that it's been all game. We got inside the 35 before losing that fumble. It's the second week in a row that Starnes has lost the fumble. Last week it was at the one when we were about to make it a one-possession game in the fourth quarter that would have given us a fighting chance. I'm not blaming Luke. The best running back in the world is going to be prone to fumbling in this game. So first and 10 at the 49 now. Now a handoff there to Strake. This time we're ready for him, and he gets about two or three. You know, Strake averages about 4.3. And this time they give him credit for 1 yard there. 21st carry for Strake on the game. 2:21 to go and counting. Both teams begin with all three timeouts. So now low snap, but he gets it pressured, and he's got a reception, but he breaks the tackle and does get a first. So Cameron Wilson there with his first reception of the game. Well, we got a flag though, so let's see if it. Oh, so it looks like it's coming back. It's going to be holding against Martinsville. Okay, good break for the Quakers. We haven't had a lot of breaks in this game. We'll take all we can get. 7:44 your time of day. 2:06 to go here in the second quarter. Your score: Martinsville 6, Plainfield 0. It's been a very ugly game. Played in the rain throughout. The rain has gotten progressively heavier. Looks like it's starting to lighten up now. Probably will not be as heavy in the second half, but still likely to factor the whole game. We're going to have to adapt. Martinsville, because they rely more on their passing offense, I thought they would be more hurt by it, but the thing is, we've just been unable to contain Braden Strake. You know, he's not a flashy rusher, but, you know, like I say, all you need is 3.4 yards of carry to keep the clock and the chains moving. He's averaged about 4.2, 4.3 on the season. That's about what he's doing today. He's just under 5 today, in fact. So we have not shown that we can contain him enough to keep them from dominating time of possession. And I'll tell you, if we close out the game with two huge deficits in time of possession, Harrison will take notice, and they will try to implement that game plan. So we've got to be ready. We've got to be ready to seize control of the game and, you know, play the way we want to rather than the way our opponent wants to. Last week, Whiteland took two possessions away from us on the two kickoff returns for the on the two recovered onside kicks, and they had 29 more offensive plays than we did. 68-39, that killed us. Absolutely killed us. The game really turned on those two plays more than anything else. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Now a second and 16 for the Artesians at their own 43. Low snap, but he gets the handoff to Strake, but he slips and he gets a few yards, but it's going to be he gets three or four, but it's going to be third and long. Strake, a very tough guy. Under 2 minutes to go, and the Quakers take their first timeout with 1:51 to go. So I think they feel like they're going to have to try to, you know, however bleak things look on offense, they're going to have to try to get another possession in this quarter. And, of course, another thing, in this kind of weather, you know, there's a better chance for a mishap on a punt attempt. You know, the punter might drop the ball, or he might bobble it, making a block more likely. Or it could be a bad snap that goes past the punter. So, you know, you just got to roll the dice right now on something like that. As they get straight credit for three, by the way, so third and 13. But, yeah, you know, the way things are going, I think we've got to take this chance here. Now, no excuse for not getting him off the field here. None whatsoever. Third and 13 for the Artesians at their own 46, 1:51 to go in the first half. They lead 6-0. playing in the rain. So two receivers right, one left, straight to running back, and now the snap. And now we're putting a lot of pressure on the quarterback. He throws, and it's out of bounds. It's out of bounds, incomplete. So the clock stops, 1:45 to go, and that'll bring out fourth down and 13. So presumably the Artesians will punt. Their punting unit does come onto the field. Only five passes in the game so far by A.J. Reynolds. Even though Martinsville's probably the most passing-dominated team that we've played all season. 7:48, your time of day. So we just got to hope for some kind of mishap here. That's a lot more prone to happen than usual with a wet ball. And now, good snap. He does get the punt off. It's a shallow punt. Goes out of bounds around the 33, the playing field 33, so the Quakers will take over. And because that last play was an incomplete pass, thankfully we only had to use one timeout, so we got 1:40 to go. They're marking it at the 31, so we have 69 yards to get to the end zone. It looks like the rain is starting to ease up a little bit. It looks like it's not quite as heavy as it was a few minutes ago. So let's go, boys. Best case scenario, get the score, get a conversion here, take the lead into the locker room, then get the ball first, start second half, get another touchdown, take control of this game, and force the Martinsville to take a lot more chances. One reason why they've been so effective in this game is because they've had the luxury. They haven't trailed at all, so they've had the luxury of just getting to give the ball to Shrake about 3 out of every 4 plays, or more like 4 out of every 5 probably. I'll have to add that up. But the point is, it's very low risk. Not super high reward, but, you know, very low risk. I mean, yeah, Shrake does get enough to get the job done. So, anyway, here's where we are right now. We're in game 9 out of 9 of the regular season. Plainfield, 6-2, but having lost 2 of their last 3, dropping from number 4 to number 6 in Class 5A. They were hoping to get a big senior day win tonight against Martinsville, a 4A team who enters the game with 5-3. However, the Quakers have struggled badly in the rain. Martinsville has 2, but not quite to the same extent. Braden Shrake has been unspectacular, but very solid for the Artesians. He's rushed for over 100 yards and a touchdown, the only score of the game. It's 6-0. Martinsville, Plainfield now taking over after a punt. 1st and 10 at their own 31. 2 timeouts left. Let's do it, boys. So two receiver seats right now. Screen pass. He's got a screen pass for about 5 or 6 yards. That was Isaiah Miller for his second reception of the game. And he got out of bounds, stopped the clock. So 4 for 7 on the game for Hunter Newell. They give him credit for 5 on that one. Miller has 2 for 12. And now, handoff to Starnes, and he's going to be about a yard short of the first. Starnes has done better. You know, he did better on the last possession for the Quakers. So they give him credit for 4 on that one, 12 for 36. Two receivers each side now. Starnes, the only running back. Handoff now. And now, takes the handoff, and he gets the first down. So Newell on the keeper, doesn't get much, but he does get the first down to move the chains. The clock will stop to move the chains. First and 10, that's the 43 now. And now, let's pick up for the 3 by Newell, but now the next play. And now he throws it away. Clock stops, 1:01 to go. Plainfield, 2nd and 10 at their own 43. Newell, 4 for 8. Reynolds, 2 for 5, still only 13 passes here in the first half combined, 1:01 to go. Plainfield trying to get some kind of score here. They trail 6-0. So 3 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. Starnes the running back. Now drops back. Screen pass to Miller. It is complete. And unfortunately, he didn't get out of bounds. He picks up about four or so. So Plainfield uses their second timeout with 51.2 seconds to go. 7:52, your time of day. Give him credit for four on that one. Miller with his first, with his third reception of the game. He's 3 for 16. So, 51.2 seconds to go in the first half. Plainfield trailing 6-0. Third and six at their own 47. Still one timeout left. You know, it might be worth taking a shutdown field at this time, you know, at least taking the chance. Of course, you know, that's more high risk than usual in this situation. But the thing is at the same time, you know, if we just do nothing but rush or do screen passes, there's a good chance that we won't get enough yards in this last, you know, 51.2 seconds to get the touchdown. This is a game where you probably have to roll the dice a few times more than you're comfortable doing. So now Rivera and Bowie lining up to the right. Miller and Vanderbush to the left. Starnes in there at running back. Newell in shotgun. Third and six. And by the way, I think it was showing that it was Whiteland that took the timeout. So Martinsville really, you know, hoping to try to get another score to make it a two-possession lead, you know, going into the locker room. But again, this is a game where your normal strategy does not apply. The rain does seem to, you know, be subsiding now. So two receivers now to each side. Snap. Throws up the middle, and it's intercepted. He is intended for Miller, and now he's up to the 50, 45. Oh, no, we've got to get him inside the 35. He spins around, and he's brought down around the 32. So Newell... finally, in the fourth quarter of the last game, threw his first interception of the season. Now he throws his second. It was not a real well-thrown ball. It could have slipped out of his hands. You know, again, you know, you got to grade this game on a curve. But now the defense has got to clamp down because we do not want to go into the locker room down two possessions. It's 6-0 Whiteland or Martinsville, 6-0 Martinsville lead. 6-0 Martinsville lead. They take over. First and 10 at the 32, two timeouts left. Also, Plainfield with two timeouts. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. And now throws, and he's going deep for the touchdown, and it's overthrown, incomplete. Reynolds, 2 for 6. Cameron Willison, the intended receiver for the Artesians. Second and 10 now, 34.1 seconds to go in the second quarter. Second and 10 out to 32. Three receivers to the right, one to the left. Strike the running back. Reynolds, the quarterback, in shotgun. And now we pressure him, and we got him for a sack. All right. Now, I assume that they will probably use their timeout here, or one of their two remaining timeouts, 27.7 seconds to go. So, but anyway, that was a very good defensive play by the Quakers. We've got to just concentrate now on just getting out of the locker room, getting into the locker room only trailing by six. So right now it's a one-yard loss there by Reynolds. So the clocks are in motion again. Three receivers to the right, one to the left. Now, we blitz Reynolds. He gets rid of it. It's a catch, but it's for a loss. For a loss. So it'll be fourth down, and I think they're just going to let the clock run out. Or will they take the timeout and then take one shot at the end zone? 3-2-1, and they take the timeout. So they just want to leave time for one more play. So there was a completion there, but it was for no gain. And Martinsville, so their curious strategy of losing their curious strategy of using a timeout on Plainfield's last possession paying off. I mean, under normal conditions, it wouldn't be unusual, but in the rain like this, and considering where Plainfield was on the field, it was probably the right call. So here's the status. Six tenths of a second to go here in the first half at Plainfield here on Senior Day, Plainfield Senior Day. Your score, Martinsville 6, Plainfield 0. A very, very ugly game played in the rain, with a lot of mishaps on both sides. But Braden Strake has moved the ball well enough for Martinsville. He's their star running back. He has the only score of the game, a 6-yard rush. Martinsville has dominated time of possession as Whiteland did to us last week. So now a 4th and 12 for the Artesians at the Plainfield 34, 6 tenths of a second left. Last play of the half, barring a defensive penalty. Three receivers to the right, one to the left. Line. 18 on the play clock. There's a snap. And now he's blitzed. He throws up the middle, and it is caught. But he's swarmed, and he's brought down well short of the end zone. So your Plainfield Quakers, in a very tense, very tight regular season finale, they entered the game 6-2, but having lost 2 of their last 3, played in the rain from start to finish so far. Your score at the halftime, Martinsville 6, Plainfield 0. Good news is that the Quakers do get the ball first to start the second half. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors on audiosportsonline.com. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football on audiosportsonline.com is made possible by the generous donations of our sponsors. We would like to recognize them and encourage you to support them. They are CJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Gunnell Financial, Remax Centerstone Julia Berberich, Midwest Pizza, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design Holly Porter, My IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, Ellis and Associates Remax, Chipotle, and Double D Barbecue. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Plainfield, we're at halftime in a very wild and woolly, very ugly, unglamorous game with your Plainfield Quakers trailing the Martinsville Artesians by a score 6-0 in a game that's been played in the rain from start to finish, although the rain finally seems to be subsiding. Usually these halftime scoring updates take, you know, a couple of minutes, but this one's going to be very quick. With 7:17 to go, Braden Schrake scored for Martinsville on a 7-yard rush. The 2-point conversion failed as a result of a mishandled snap, obviously playing in the rain. And that brings us to our current score of 6-0. Plainfield, however, is lucky that they're not down a lot worse. Martinsville, on their first and second possessions, got inside the 10 on their first possession. They got up to the 5, were tackled back to the 8, and then missed a field goal. And then on their second possession, they got all the way up to the 6 or so, I believe the 6, and then lost a fumble. Plainfield has not moved the ball. Plainfield did not get into Martinsville territory, I believe, on either of their first two possessions. They did get a couple of first downs on their, their first possession. Their second their third and fourth possessions, they did get into Artesian territory, but lost the ball both times on turnovers, once on a lost fumble by Luke Starnes, the second consecutive week that he's lost the fumble. And then, and I believe those were his first two fumbles of the season. Then on an interception thrown by Hunter Newell, I believe that, well, I know for a fact that's only his second interception of the season, the first one happening late in the game last week when Plainfield was, you know, desperate, trying to come back from a 2-touchdown deficit late in the game. Look at the individual statistics. First of all, for Plainfield, Hunter Newell has completed 5 of 10 passes for 40 yards, no touchdowns, and one interception. Isaiah Miller has 3 touchdowns for 15 yards. Brandon Hendry, 1 for 15. Luke Starnes, 1 for 10. On rushing, Luke Starnes has 11 for 40 yards. Weston Weyrich, 3 for 11. Hunter Newell, 2 for 6. And Caden Vanderbush, 1 for 0. For Martinsville, A.J. Reynolds has completed 5 of 9 passes for 27 yards, no touchdowns, and no interceptions. Receiving statistics, Braden Drake has 2 receptions for 4 yards. Hunter Stroud, 1 for 15. Cameron Willison, 1 for 10. And Jace LaFerry, 1 for 6. So, the second half. Liam, how's the rain out there?
Looks like it's calmed down.
Okay, Liam said the rain has calmed down. I can sort of see through the window, but I can't see real well.
You went outside. Did you still outside?
Okay, I thought Liam had, you know, had taken a walk outside as he does sometimes during halftime. I guess he just went to get more pizza. But anyway, I just sent him outside. Oh, he said he thinks that the rain has stopped. Okay, good. So that will help us to move the ball better. We still could be dealing with a wet ball in wet field. But under, you know, no rain, obviously, we're going to be able to move the ball better. So hopefully we will do that. I mean, it's one of those things. If this had been the exact same game under good weather conditions, I would be more concerned right now. I'm not going to be too terribly hard on the Quakers because they are playing, you know, all the rules go out the window when you have as much rain as we've had tonight. Again, I thought it would favor us because we're a more balanced team than Martinsville is. But Braden Schrake, he's held onto the ball. He's gotten more than the 3.4 yards that you need. In fact, he's gotten just under 5 a carry. And that's been more than enough for the Quakers to, for the Artesians to at least get the lead. And again, we're lucky we're not down 21-0 because, like I said, they got the first 2 possessions. They got inside the 10, missed a field goal, lost a fumble. So, you know, it's one of those games. It could come down to which team, you know, makes the fewest mistakes. So we just have to, and of course, I think one thing that Coach Bless is going to talk about in the locker room, probably talking about right now, is they're going to have to make some adjustments and contain Schrake, you know. And also, you know, we've got to get the lead on this first possession of the second half. You know, we'll tie with a touchdown, take the lead with any conversion. You know, if we can force Martinsville to play from behind, especially if we can get a 2-possession lead, that will play heavily into our favor. And keep in mind, last year at Martinsville, we were down 17-7 going into the fourth quarter. Then Noah Hessling got 2 rushing touchdowns in the fourth quarter to give us the 21-17 win, and I think that win really helped us in our drive to the sectional championship. We entered the game, you know, we'd been 0-3, then we went 3 in a row, capped off by the overtime win over Decatur Central, breaking a 13-game losing streak to the Hawks. But then we had the 2 bad losses in a row to Franklin and Whiteland. Franklin, we beat ourselves. We committed 3 turnovers in the red zone, including a lost fumble at the one that was returned for a touchdown for Franklin. But Whiteland just, you know, they were an awesome team. They lost the state championship team 35-31 to Valparaiso. They just thoroughly beat us. You know, they were a better team. It's that simple. But nevertheless, I would have felt really bad about our chances going into the playoffs on a 3-game losing streak. That fourth quarter comeback, you know, gave us a good jolt as we went in and got the 2 big fourth quarter come from behind wins at Harrison and then here against Decatur Central to win the sectional where, of course, we lost. Then, of course, we went to the regional and lost. But, yeah, what we got to do in the second half, we got to, you know, Of course, the thing is, you know, with less rain or possibly, hopefully, no rain, you know, it could be that Martinsville will go more to the air. We'll see. But, you know, right now, we've just got to, you know, be prepared to contain Shrake and not let them eat up so much time, you know. So far in this game, you know, we've gotten, let's see here. So, yeah, we've gotten, let's see, yeah, well, it's not as bad. I mean, Martinsville has 34 plays to our 29, but they were outgaining us from scrimmage 177 to 83. But they still have dominated time of possession, though, just not to the extent that Whiteland did last week. So, anyway, right now, with 6:48 to go on the halftime clock, let's look ahead a couple of weeks to the tournament. Last Sunday was Selection Sunday for us Indiana high school football fans. The IHSAA announced the pairings for its 51st annual tournament, and the draw wasn't quite what I had hoped, but I'm still confident that Plainfield has a good chance to make a deep tournament run if they play up to their potential. I was hoping that Plainfield would open the tournament at Lafayette McCutcheon, the weakest of the four teams in our sectional, which is sectional 13. That way we would probably win without a lot of trouble and then not have to beat both Harrison and Decatur Central, who are much better than McCutcheon. We just have to beat the Harrison Decatur Central winner. As it is, however, we'll be opening the playoffs as we did last year at Harrison. And it's amazing how quickly those two teams have turned into fierce rivals. Prior to last year, Plainfield and Harrison had only played each other once in football, and that was all the way back in 1992 when the Raiders beat the Quakers 35-14 in the first round of the playoffs. Harrison went on to win the Class 4A state championship that year, which is still the only state championship in school history. Then last year, the two teams scheduled a home-and-home series, and ironically, then-head coach Brian Witter said he did not want to play a team so far away, Harrison about 80 miles north of here, but he took the game out of concern that if he didn't, the Quakers would not find a Week 2 opponent for the 2022 season. And then in a major coincidence, we ended up being in the same sectional with Harrison for that season. And in the regular season, Harrison beat Plainfield by a score of 22-14 in a game that went down to the last play. On Plainfield's last drive, Hunter Newell threw 36 yards to Grant Irwin, moving the ball to the Harrison 27. But then on the last play of the game, a Newell pass into the end zone was intercepted. Then in the playoffs, Plainfield entered the fourth quarter trailing 28-21, but on 4th and 18, around the middle of the quarter, at the Harrison 39, Newell threw a touchdown pass to Grant Irwin, and then on Harrison's ensuing drive, they fumbled, which was returned 51 yards for a touchdown by the ironically named Harrison Herbeck for Plainfield, giving us the 35-21 win. The 35-28 win. And then this season when they played in the regular season, Harrison jumped off to a 14-0 lead in the first half before Plainfield came back to win 15-14 with a 2-point conversion being the difference. So heading into the playoffs, clearly the Raiders want to beat us in the worst way. How much we have a psychological edge after those two close wins, especially the way we broke their hearts in the fourth quarter in the playoffs last year, a game they entered, by the way, on an 8-game winning streak. I don't know. You know, it could be that they helped beat themselves last year, and they're going to come out fired up, you know, playing focused, you know, with confidence they can beat us. Or it could be that we're going to be in their head psychologically, and that could, you know, help play into our favor. But anyway, Harrison, you know, has won 6 consecutive games since we beat them back in Week 2, which has moved them up to number 5 in the Class 5A poll. But they have played a much weaker schedule, which I think contributed to their loss against us in the playoffs last year. They entered that game 8-1. Like I said, they were on an 8-game winning streak, which started with their win against us, and they were also ranked number 5 at the time. And I think having played a much tougher schedule helped us. Like I say, I think the Mid-State might be the toughest conference in the state that's not dominated by 6A teams. And, you know, I also believe that our second-round playoff win in Northview back in 2014 was partly because of our opponent having an inflated record because of a weak schedule. We entered that game 3-7, although we were starting to get healthy, and Dante Keys and Gavin Ritter were starting to develop as star wide receivers and build chemistry with then quarterback Colin Nicewander. And the Knights entered the game at 8-2, but all seven of the regular season wins came against lower class teams. Now, I'd like to think Plainfield was the favorite going into the game 2 weeks from tonight because of our far superior strength of schedule and the psychological edge. But realistically, winning the game is probably a 50-50 chance, especially considering that Plainfield has lost two of its last three games. And, you know, hopefully it won't be the case, but they could lose. They could end up entering the playoffs losing three of their last four. We're down 6-0 at the half now. Now, on the other part of the bracket, Decatur Central visits Lafayette and McCutcheon in a matchup of two teams that have improved a lot during the course of the season. The Hawks started off 2-2, but have now won their last four and are currently ranked number 7. The host Mavericks started off 1-3 in the second year of rebuilding under head coach Jason Strasser, but they won their last four now and are currently ranked number 13. However, McCutcheon, like Harrison, plays in the North Central Conference. Again, they played a fairly weak schedule, and the Mavericks look like the weakest team in the section, although not to the extent that they were last year. Now, if Plainfield wins the first round game, they will either visit Decatur Central or host Lafayette McCutcheon in the second round. If we win the sectional championship, it depends on quite a few things, but just trust me when I say it's more likely that we would host the regional game. So we'll see. I'll talk more about that if we win the first game and, you know, then get to the sectional championship when the scenarios will be a lot more narrow. Now, I'm not familiar with any of the six teams in – well, then let me back up. The winner of our sectional will play the winner of sectional 14, which is comprised of Whiteland, Franklin, Terre Haute North, and Terre Haute South. The winner will likely be either Whiteland or Franklin. Whiteland seems to have the momentum right now. They seem to be recovering from their slow start. They're currently 4-4, ranked 12th in Class 5A. Franklin's currently 5-3. They got a big win last week, recovering from their big loss to us a couple of weeks ago. The winner of that regional, let me back up. You know, I do believe that we'll have a good chance to beat Whiteland if we play them again, because I think we'll go in learning from what they did to us, learning from the way that they got us to play according to their game plan rather than playing, you know, in accordance with ours. I think we'll come in with a better game plan, more prepared, and I think we'll have a good chance to get the win. Not guaranteed, but I think we'll have a good chance for it. And I think we'll be better prepared to also contain Blake Valentine, their star running back. And Franklin, obviously, we beat them 38-3. Obviously, they would come in, you know, with a different game plan, presumably, but I would certainly like our chances to beat Franklin too. I would think it's unlikely that either of the Terre Haute's would win that sectional. And you know, Terre Haute North is really bad this year. Terre Haute South is better, but we did beat them 32-13 back in week one. Obviously, we could beat them again. The winner of that regional would likely play. The winner of that regional would play in the semi-state, most likely against number one ranked and 8-0 Bloomington North, or 7-1 and number 3 ranked Bloomington South, whose only loss was 25-24 to Bloomington North. But keep in mind that even though Bloomington North is ranked number 1 and undefeated, the Quakers have done better than the Cougars have against their two common opponents. Against Terre Haute South, Plainfield won 32-13, Bloomington North won 38-28. So we beat Terre Haute South by 19, Bloomington North only by 10. And then against Mooresville, Plainfield won 31-15, Bloomington North won 34-29. So we beat Mooresville by 16, Bloomington North only by 5. Yeah, and again, I think strength of schedule would play into our favor in that game. By the way, as I've said a few times this year, the Cougars are coached by Scott Blest, uncle of our very own head coach, Tyler Blest. So that would be quite a great story if that matchup happened. Now, I'm not familiar with any of the I'm not familiar with any of the 16 teams in the north half of the bracket, but I have no doubt that Plainfield is capable of beating any of the 15 teams in the South half. Simply put, the Quakers have a realistic chance to get to the Class 5A state championship game, but they also have a realistic chance to be eliminated in the first round. So the bottom line is they simply must bring their A game for all 48 minutes, every game without exception. And if they do that, they can go a long, long way, and even if they don't, at least they'll be at peace knowing they did their best. So I want a state championship. Yeah, I want the Quakers to win every game they play. But, you know, most of all, I want the kids to just do their best so that they'll walk out with their heads up knowing they did their best, being at peace, win or lose. You know, that's the most important thing. Well, now Whiteland taking off, and now it is a short-range kick. It is fielded up for 36, and he drops it, but he falls on it. Boy, that was dangerous. I couldn't tell who it was, but he clearly had the, he clearly was thinking about moving forward hard with the ball, trying to get the touchdown. But we do take over a good field position, which we need at about the 39. It looks like the rain has completely stopped, or at least very close to it. That should help our offense. So now Plainfield trailing 6-0. Under better weather conditions now, starting up the second half, trailing 6-0. Come on, boys. Let's get going here. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Hunter Newell in shotgun. Hands off now to Shrake. He spins around, and he gets up for about 3 or 4. The 11:46 to go on counting in the third quarter, 8:19 your time of day. The first half is done in just under an hour. Starnes opens up the offense in the second half with a 4-yard rush, bringing up 2nd and 6. Starnes gets it again now, and he's going to be close to the first down. I think he's going to be a yard short. So, they gave credit for the first. All right. So Starnes was 14 for 40 in the first half. Now he's 2 for 50 to start the second half. I'm sorry, 12 for 40 in the first half. Now 2 for 10 to start up the second half. The Quakers now knocking on the door of Artesian territory. First and 10 at the 49. Two receivers to the right. One to the left. Hand off there to Starnes. He moves forward, and he gets about 3 or 4. So maybe Starnes, you know, will have the kind of success that Schrape did for Martinsville in the first half, where he was just getting 4 or 5 yards a carry. 4 yards there by Starnes, so he's carried on every play of the half so far. He's gotten better than the 3.4 yards you need to keep the clock and the chains moving. So now Rivera and Miller to the right, two receivers to the left. Screen pass to Bowie. He's got the catch out of bounds. He got the catch and then got out of bounds. It's going to be just shy of the first down, I believe. So Newell, 5 for 10 in the first half. Okay, they give him credit for the first. All right. So the Quakers got a fresh set of downs there. 6 yards there. Bowie did not get a reception in the first half, so good to start off to get one. Good to start off getting one in the second half. So now handoff there to Starnes, just about 2 that time. So 2nd and 8 at the 39 for the Quakers. So the Quakers letting the clock roll. If we get a touchdown, we'll tie. The conversion will put them to the lead. 2nd and 8. We got to seize the momentum here. Take advantage of the improved weather. Two receivers each side now. Now gives it to Weyrich. He runs around on the right side, but they bring him down for a loss. Oh, no. So now it's going to be a dreaded 3rd and long. We are probably in... we are going to be... we are going to be... So -6 there, shoot. So it's going to, I assume we would go for it on fourth down here, 3rd and 14 at the, and we got some room, we got some movement at the line with no flag. 12 on the play clock now. Three receivers to the left, one to the right, one running back. Snap. Got time. Now he rolls left, looks for somebody, and now throws it away. Throws it away, so it's going to be fourth down. So are we going to go for it on fourth and 14 at the Whiteland 45? Or are we going to punt, try to pin them down deep into the territory? It looks like we're going to punt. Plainfield has, you know, two high-profile punt attempts this season back in week five. When we were leading 22-20, but Greenwood was seizing the momentum, we went for a fake punt on fourth and 10. Got it by Alex Coleslaw. We tried it again the next week when we were leading, but since that Decatur Central was seizing the momentum, it failed, setting up the game-time touchdown by Decatur Central. They went on to win. Now the punt, it bounces inside the 12, and we took down it. Oh, man, this has got into the end zone. Oh, man. We'd have had it. Didn't quite catch up to the ball, but down it at the 1. So, the Quakers moved the ball decently to start the second half, but they end up punting with no points, still trailing 6-0. Now, we'll see how Martinsville does on their first possession of the game under the improved weather conditions. We shall see. Two receivers now to the right, one to the left. The Artesians now, A.J. Reynolds in shotgun, Braden Strake, the running back. And now Strake gets it again. This time they're right on top of Strake. He gets 2 or 3. So Strake, 22 carries in the first half for 108 yards, picks up 2 there. He has the only score of the game, a touchdown. The conversion failed, making it 6-0. The current score, 8:25 to go and counting here in the third quarter here on Senior Day at Plainfield. So now, screen pass, it is completed for the first down. Hunter Stroud with his second reception of the game, and that'll be about a... That'll be a gain of about, they give him credit for 8 there. So 2 for 23 receiving for Stroud in this game. 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. Straight now, they're right on top of him. They hit him at the line, but he breaks through and he gets up for about 5. So Braden Strake showing how tough he is. Give him credit for 6 there. We got to figure out a way to contain Strake. So 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. But yeah, I mean, you know, Plainfield, I mean, Martinsville playing for the lead, playing with the lead obviously makes a big difference. Seven on the play clock now. Takes the handoff to Strake. A screen pass. And now he's brought down for a short gain. That was Josh Jones there. Josh Jones with his first reception of the game for the Artesians. Give him credit for 2, bringing up 3rd and 3. Very critical 3rd down here for the Quakers defense. It's going to stop, boys. If not a turnover. 15 on the play clock. Well, we're already we're nearly halfway through the third quarter already. Still trailing 6-0. The rain appears to be completely stopped. So 2 receivers to left, 1 to the right. Now that delay of game. All right. So they seem to lose track. So boy, 3rd and 3 goes to 3rd and 8. Now no excuse for not getting him off the field here. No, they got the timeout. Oh, darn. I got excited there for a second. Nevertheless, at least they did use one of their timeouts. That could come into a play later. We'll see. Man. Well, you know, while we got a little time here, you know, I have a little good news to report on a personal note. You know, it was last year in the Martinsville game down at Martinsville where I reported the death of my mother, Janice Wishman Mitchell. On October 11th, I saw she died 3 days before the game, and I announced it on the air. But this year, I have a much happier announcement to make. I'm very happy to announce the birth of my grandniece, Eliana Jo Apollo, who was born last Saturday, October 7th, out in Sacramento, California. I'm a very proud granduncle, and look forward to seeing her as soon as possible. And best wishes to her parents, my niece Olivia, and Sam. So, all right, so 3rd and 3 now for the Artesians. Hand up there, and we stop them short. Yes. At least 1 yard short, maybe 2. So the question is, will they go for it? Martinsville's taking some chances in this game. Half has Plainfield, but the punting unit does come on. After the, so 4th and 1. I wouldn't be surprised if they did the fake here. But, yeah, if we do get the ball back, and now Martinsville struggling to get their 11th man on the field. They do, 10 seconds to go. And now the punt, it goes, bounces around the 30, takes a high bounce, and then, takes a big bounce into inside the 20 down to about the 16. So that's a 45-yard punt there by Reynolds, the quarterback. You know, I see a lot of people in high school ball doubling as kicker and as punter and quarterback. So, Quakers trailing 6-0, 5:30 to go here in the first quarter, taking over after a punt, 1st and 10 at the road 16. Come on, boys, let's get something going here. Vanderbush to the left, one running back in there, 2 receivers to the right. Takes the handoff, Newell rolls right. He's got time. He throws downfield, and it is incomplete. He threw it away. Newell 6 for 12 by my count, only 46 yards through the air. I'm sorry. 46 yards. Miller has 3 receptions. Starnes, Hendry, and Bowie, 1 apiece. Vanderbush surprisingly does not have 1 yet. Hopefully that will change soon. 2nd and 10 at the 16 now. Got to get something going. So 2 running backs in there now. 2 receivers from the right, 1 to the left. Hand off to Starnes. This time he gets about 4 or so. Starnes was contained, the best he'd been contained all season last week. Did not score a touchdown for the first time in a game all week, although he didn't get as good a spot as I expected. Only 2, bringing up a big 3rd and 8 for the Quakers offense as we hit the 5 minutes to go mark here in the third quarter, still trailing 6-0, a game that was drenched by rain in the first half. So now we've got Miller and Vanderbush out to the left, Bowie, and I believe that's Rivera out to the right. Starnes the running back, drops back to pass. Got time. Then he flips, but he's brought down for a sack. Oh, no. Brought down inside the 5. That's fatal. So the Quakers are likely to, apparently going to punt from their end zone again. And that could be a fatal, fatal, fatal error in this game. We've got to get something going here. We've got to get something going. God, that's a loss of 13 there. Oh, no. It's a bad snap. And they're going to get rid of it. And he runs with it, but he's run down by the five, so the Artises take over, you know, with a very good chance to take a two-possession lead. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's a bad snap, and, you know, the punter tried to run for the first down, didn't even come close. Now the pressure cranks heavily up on the defense. If we get down by even if they get a field goal here, a two-possession lead is going to put us in big trouble. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. 14 on the play clock. Yeah, the Artisans take over at the 6. Now fakes the handoff, throws into the end zone. And he threw the screen pass to Jones. Did he get the touchdown? I couldn't tell if he got in or not. Looks like he's a yard short. So we'll bring up 2nd and goal at the 1. In very, very deep trouble here. So Josh Jones with the 2nd reception of the game. Almost got the touchdown. So now hand off there to Shrake. We're right on top of him. He might have stopped him. Boy, this would be a great goal line stand, but they still have 2 more chances. Shrake 26 for 118 now. So 3rd and goal at the 1 for the Artisans, leading 6-0. Got to get a stop here, boys. Make the defense a play your lives, man. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Hand off to Shrake. No. It's a keeper there by Reynolds, and he got it for the touchdown. So now Martinsville takes a 12-0 lead with the conversion pending. The first extra point attempt, well, it was missed. The two-point conversion attempt was missed on a bad snap on when they were going to go for the extra point. Now the extra point is up and is good. So with 2:45 to go in the 3rd quarter, your Playfield Quakers fall in a 13-0 hole. Keep in mind last year the regular season finale at Martinsville, we trailed 17-7 going into the 4th quarter. We came back to win on 2 rushing touchdowns by Noah Hessling. Maybe history will repeat itself this year, but we've got to get something going. We have not gotten past the Martinsville 33 on offense tonight. We do not want to go into the regular season having lost 3 of 4 after that 5-0 start. There are mitigating circumstances, a mountain of mitigating circumstances in this game. I am less critical of the way our kids have played in this game than of last week. I think they made more mistakes that were their fault last week. This game, you know, the weather has affected us. It has not affected Martinsville to the extent that I thought it would have. But we got to get something going in this possession. Mid-level kick. Fair catch taken right around the 30. So 14 minutes and 45 seconds trailing by 13 points. Come on, boys, we got to get some offense going here. So Plainfield starting the drive at their own 29, three receivers to the right, one to the left, takes the handoff, screen pass, it is completed, he's got a hold now, 45, 40, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30, all right, that's the kind of play we needed, 41 yards there, all right. A little screen pass turned into a lot. I believe that was Bowie. Oh, no, it's coming back. Shoot. Oh, no. I'm sorry, I completely missed that flag. 2:37 to go. You know, room 237 in the movie The Shining was a very famous plot element in that movie. It was a very, very horrifying room. So, I don't know what the significance of 2:37 mean on the clock at this point in the game right now is, but hopefully it'll work out for playing field. And now it's the time of day, as my son pointed out, 8:37, so. Anyway, two receivers to the left now, one to the right, one running back, middle of shotgun, first and 15 at the 24, let's go. And, oh, and he threw some buoy, but the timing was off. So now first and 15. We've got to get something going. We've got to play like this is the playoffs here. We've got to play with urgency. I mean, we're getting shut out. I mean, you know, we've scored now the last seven quarters, 8 points. You know, we've got to do better than that. Three receivers to the left, one to the right. One running back. Fake standoff. Screen pass completed. I believe that's to Miller. He's got some room, but he gets out of bounds. It's going to be about third and eight or so. So a 9 yard pickup there by Miller. He has four of the Quakers, seven receptions here on his senior day. Maybe the most underrated player on this team. I hope he's playing college ball next year. He sure deserves it. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Now, Newell, he's blitzed. He does get rid of it. Got a completion. He might have the first down. It's going to be close. That was Hendry with the second reception of the game. Let's see what kind of spot he gets. So fourth and one, man. I say go for it. All right, we're going for it. We're going for it. We got to get that 1 yard. Trailing 13-0, 2:19 to go here in the third quarter. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Hand off to Hendry. Quick run. He's got the first down. And he breaks it inside the 50, inside the 45. All right. All right. A gain of about 18 yards for Luke Starnes. That might be his best of the game. All right. Didn't get quite as good a spot, but marked at the 45 anyway. Gain of 17. So now 2:03 to go, first and 10 in Marcusville territory at the 45. Takes the handoff. Now Newell. Now he's got to get rid of it. He's got to get rid of it. Come on. Oh, my God. Hunter Newell playing on his senior day. His second huge tackle for loss. You know, the first half of last season, he had a real bad problem with getting rid of it. Now that's the second time in this third quarter he's failed to do that. We lose 7. So now, second and 17. We got to get something going. 1:30 to go now in the half. So now Newell drops back. Got plenty of time. And he's got a completion to Bowie. And he picks up about 11. So it's going to be third and about 6. So a good way to somewhat recover from that, that loss. So good job there, good job keeping his composure. We love you, Hunter. We do. We just, sometimes my competitive juices just take over. So third and 6 now at the, Martinsville 41 screen pass. It is complete, and it's going to be about 2 yards short of the first down, maybe 3. Finally, Vanderbush gets his first reception of the game. So big 4th and 3 now. So 4th and 3 for the Quakers at the Martinsville 38. The game could hinge on this play. Two receivers to each side. One running back. Snap. Screen pass. He's got the, for the first. All right. He got out of bounds. Yeah, that's okay. Miller. Miller with his fifth catch on his senior day. So first and 10 at the 33. This is as far into Martinsville territory as the Quakers have been all game. Two receivers each side now. Plainfield with a quarter and 25.5 seconds to make up 13 points. And now Newell takes it around. And he can pass the 20, pass the 15. So Hunter Newell, a keeper for about 20 yards. The clock stops with 17.1 seconds to go. So the Quakers get into the red zone for the first time tonight. We can do this, boys. Even if we lose this game, we've got to get some momentum going. So now rain starting again. That was a 19-yard pickup there by Newell on first down. Playing like he wants to redeem himself for that 7-yard loss earlier on this down. Three receivers to the left, one to the right. One running back. The hands now fakes the handoff. Newell takes it himself and gets up about 3. And that will likely be the last play of the quarter. It will be 2nd and 7 at the 11 when we come back. 3, 2, 1. So, after 3 quarters of play here on senior day at Plainfield, your Plainfield Quakers trailing 13-0. But they are showing their biggest signs of life on offense tonight. There, when we come back, it'll be 2nd and 7 at the Martinsville 11. 12 minutes to make up 13 points and head into the playoffs for some momentum. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors on AudioSportsOnline.com. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football on AudioSportsOnline.com is brought to you by Gunnell Financial, Remax Centerstone Julia Burbridge, Midwest Pizza, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design Holly Porter, My IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, Ellison Associates Remax, Chipotle, and Double D Barbecue. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Martinsville, we're about to start a very tense fourth quarter with your Plainfield Quakers trailing the Martinsville Artesians 13-0 in a game that was played with rain, including often very heavy rain throughout the first half. The rain has largely subsided here in the second half. Plainfield now has the ball on their best offensive possession of the game. They're showing 2nd and 8 at the Martinsville 11. Let's go, boys. Let's go. So two receivers to each side now. One running back, Newell in shotgun, takes it, drops back, runs with it, and he's brought down right around the line of scrimmage, maybe a slight loss, bringing up 3rd and long. Obviously, we got to go for it if it gets to 4th down here. And now we've got a I thought a Quaker was down. No, I guess not. So anyway, now they said that he lost 2 there. So a big 3rd and 10 now at the Martinsville 13. We've got to cut into this lead here. We've got to make it a one-possession game. So now Newell, and now he takes it. I know he gets to get inside the 10 close to the 5, so it's going to be 4th and short. 4th and about 2. So Hunter Newell has some very good rushing on this drive. He's playing, you know, like he wants to take this game over after that tackle for a 7-yard loss early on this possession. Okay, they said they gave him a better spot than I thought, so 1st and goal at the 3. All right. So I'll take it. 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left, 1 running back. Now a handoff to Starn, and he's got it for the touchdown. Yes! So it's a 1-possession game, 10:55 to go. We're still in this. All right. All right. Now, let's see what they'll do for the conversion. It's a 1-possession game regardless. The Quakers looks like they are going to That's, it looks like they're going to go for the two here. So we've got Marcus Rivera, looks like his back to receive. So it looks like they're going to try to... and they stop him. They stop him. I think that was Hendry who got the direct snap. So it fails, but again, we're within one possession. So the Quakers breathing new life. I'm still a little, I still feel uneasy that he missed it, because now if we get another touchdown, and that's assuming that Marcus Hill doesn't score again, if we get another touchdown, it means we're going to have to at least get the one-point conversion to tie, although knowing Coach Bless as well as I do, that adventurous young man, I think probably he would go for the two. We've had very good success all season on two-point conversions regardless, but aside from that, it could be that, you know, we could still have a wet field and a wet ball that could affect an extra point attempt and make it more likely for some kind of mishap. So, anyway, let's get a three and out here. You know, last week, Whiteland had two successful onside kicks against us, including one to start the game. Both combined to be fatal for us. A big contributor to our 22-8 loss. Now, let's see if we go for one here. I would imagine not, because we have not contained Braden Strike well enough that I would feel comfortable with Martinsville taking over around the 50 with a chance to run, you know, 5 or 6 minutes off the clock. So I imagine we'll kick deep and try to hold them. But maybe not. They go for the outside kick. Oh, it's loose. Let's see. Oh, Martinsville got it. It was close. Will it come back to haunt us? We will see. Well, we got to think. We got to do three and out here, if not a turnover. So Martinsville will take over at their own 45 or 46. Was it worth the risk? Not my call to make. I admire the call by Coach Bless, and it was well executed. Just didn't quite get it. You know, it's a crapshoot to go for an onside kick. So now Martinsville lines up two receivers to the right, one to the left. Strike the running back, fakes the handoff, and it's caught, but for no gain or maybe a slight loss. So second and 10. Screen pass there. I believe that was, hold on. Yeah, so now two receivers to the left, one to the right. Second and 10 for the Artesians at their own 45. 10:22 to go. Martinsville 13, Plainfield 7. Come on, boys. Let's get a stop here. Now, put pressure on the quarterback, but it's thrown for a reception inside the 40. That was Hunter Stroud with a gain of about 16 yards there. So it'll be first and 10 for the Artesians at the Plainfield 39. So right now it looks like the onside kick was not the right move, but let's see. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Now high snap, but he gets it, pitches back to Strake. We're right on top of him, but he breaks the tackle, and he gets inside the 30, probably has the first down. Depends on the spot, but I think he did get it. Right to the 29. Yes. Yes. Now, if we go down, if any Martinsville score makes it a two-possession game, 9:37 to go, any Martinsville score would come very close to clinching it, because it's going to be very hard for us to overcome a two-possession deficit. And now the rain's starting to pick up again. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Braden Strake, a workload tonight. Fits back. And now this time we cover him and he gets up for two or three. Only give credit for one. He didn't get quite as good a spot as I thought he would. I have Shrake with 28 receptions now for 129 yards. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. 8:43 to go, one running back. And now handoff to Shrake again. This time we're right on top of him, and we stop him just about dead in his tracks, bringing up third and long. The Artesians likely in fourth down territory, but we just got to get him off the field here. We got to get him off the field without getting any, without giving up any more points. The steady rain is back here. Two receivers to the left, one to the right, 18 on the play clock, 8:10 to go and counting. Martinsville leading by 7 in the fourth quarter. Low snap, but he gets it, and now throws it up the middle, and it was tipped. Did we get the interception? I thought it did not hit the ground. It looked to me like Jack Aldridge picked it up and tipped the ball. I think they're saying it hit the ground. Nevertheless, it's 4th and 9, so no excuse for not getting him off the field here. It'll be a disaster if we fail to do that. 4th and 9 at the 28 for the Artesians, leading by 7. The game could hinge on this play. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. It's going to stop here, boys. So now Reynolds drops back the pass under Gregory. He goes deep, and it's caught for the touchdown. Oh, my God. Well, wait. Holding against the Artesians, it's coming back. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, that was tense. I thought we just lost the game. Oh, my God. So that wipes out a 28-yard touchdown pass on 4th and 9. Oh, my God, what a relief. What a relief there. So 7:53 to go. Let's see where the ball's going to be. So 4th and 19. So I think they're going to punt here. Try to pin the Quakers inside, you know, inside the 10 or the 5. Let's get a block here, boys. Let's get a block. And again, we got a wet ball, so, you know, more things can go wrong here. We got to take any break that we get. My heart sunk when I thought they had gotten the touchdown there. So as it is now, it's a punt, and now it's taken up to about the 15, got up for only 2 or 3 yards. Starnes ran hard like he was trying to find a hole. He didn't, but nevertheless, Plainfield has the ball with a chance to tie or take the lead. We trail by 7, so it depends. We got to get the touchdown, and then we've got to make the conversion, either the 1 to tie, the 2 to lead. Come on, boys, let's go. You've got to play like this is the playoffs right here. You got to play like it's the playoffs. So now we've got Starnes in there at running back. Vanderbush is going over to the left. Bowie, Miller, and I believe that's Rivera to the right. Taking over at the 18, 82 yards to go, 7:45, trailing by 7. Let's do it. Let's do it, boys. And now Newell takes it himself. He's passed the 20 up to about the 23 or 24, so good start to the drive. Hunter Newell, you know, has played, you know, ever since we got the ball into up to the on the last possession when we got the ball up to the 45 of Martinsville, and then Newell got sacked for 7 yards. He's been, you know, trying to take the game over. He picks up 5 there. So 2nd and 5 now, Plainfield at their own 23, trailing by 7. Here on our senior day, game 9 of 9 in the regular season. We start the playoffs 2 weeks from tonight at Harrison. So now, handoff there to Starnes. He's up for the middle, he's up the middle, and he's got the first down and about 2 more. All right. So we move the chains. The clock stops to move the chains. 7:01 to go. We have 3 timeouts left. Martinsville has 2. Oh, my God. This is why we call them the cardiac Quakers. So 1st and 10 at the 30 now, following that 6-yard rush there by Starnes. One receiver to the right, 2 to the left. Now he gives the hand, they give, he runs into his, he runs into somebody, and then he's brought down for a loss of about four. So that, like, give him a credit for a 3 yard loss there. Nearly halfway through the quarter now, 6:25 to go and counting. Let's go, boys. Let's get those yards back and more. So now we've got, it looks like Rivera and Miller to the left. I believe it's Vanderbush Boot to the left. The other two to the right. Starnes still in there at running back. 6:08 to go, 12 on the play clock. Newell in shotgun. Plainfield trailing by 7. Now fakes the handoff. Throws over to Miller. He's got the reception, but he only picks up 1 or 2, so it's going to bring up 3rd and long. He was very well covered. That's going to be about 3rd and 11 or 12. 3rd and 12, 5:43 to go. Come on, boys. And we're going to have to go for it if we don't get it on 4th down. If we don't get this conversion here, we're going to have to go for it on 4th down. So now Bowie and Vanderbush line up to the left. Two others to the right. I believe that's still Starnes in there at running back. Takes it. Newell throws up the middle. Oh, and Miller drops it. He drops it. He would have not probably not gotten the first down, but probably been close. And it looks like we're going to punt. So we're going to count on the defense going. Well, it looks like we're going to count on the defense doing a 3 and out. We do have all 3 timeouts left, but it's going to be high risk. It would be high risk to go for it. It's high risk to punt. It's, you know, which risk do you want to take? And they blitz they nearly get the block. The punt bounces inside past midfield, but then takes a slight marginal bounce. So they'll take over at the 47 or 48. Okay. So, 5:12 to go. Martinsville takes over, takes over on offense with a 13-6 lead. Plainfield, after they got the first down in their last possession of downs, they just stalled. The Quakers in danger of their first home loss of the season and losing 3 of their last 4 regular season games. That's not the way you want to go into the playoffs. We've got to get a stop, especially as much as Martinsville, milks the clock so well, especially, with Strake. We have not been able to contain him well enough tonight. Strake gets it again. This time, they stop him for about 2. Braden Strake, 30 carries on the game now. He picks up 2 there. I have him with 131 yards and a touchdown. So 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. 17 on the play clock. Now Reynolds looks over to the sideline. I think they're going to milk a lot of the clock here. And now screen pass. And now they're right on top of him. He dodges a couple of tacklers. He's brought down. He does get 3 or 4. It's going to be a huge third down for the Quakers, about 3rd and 4, 4:20 to go. And we'll see, how long it takes for Plainfield to start using their timeouts. 3rd and 3. I was hoping to be 3rd and 4. Not that it makes a lot of difference, but every yard you'll take at this point. 20 seconds now. We'll see how much. And then Reynolds looks over to the sideline again, now gets back in formation. 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. And now, it's a fumble! It's a fumble! Who shot it? I think Martinsville recovered, but it'll be 4th and about 6. That is a break for us. So they likely would punt here. 3:36 to go. Are they going to go for it? Or maybe they're going to try to drop us off sides and let it run down to 1 on the play clock. I think they're probably going to try to draw them off sides because it would be very high risk there on 4th and 6 to go for it and, take the chance of, letting us. And now that they punt and nobody's back to receive. And it does. Oh, it gets into the end zone for a touchback. Thankfully. The Artesians were chasing it. But yeah, they lined up looking like they were going to go for it, but they punted. And now Plainfield takes over on offense. 3 minutes and 6 seconds to go, 80 yards. We trailed 13-6. It was played under rain for most, if not all, of the first half. A lot of it very heavy rain. It's been fairly dry. I think we have a little sprinkle now here in the second half. But the rain, I think, has affected us a lot. And it's put us in a deep hole. So first and 10 at the 20, 3:06 to go. Come on, boys, let's do it. Play like this is the playoffs here. Play like the state championship is at stake. So now a handoff, and he gets up for Starnes for about two. Under 3 minutes now. We got to get better than that. Starnes is, Newell has barely thrown deep all night. He might have to. So I believe we got Miller and Bowie out to the left. I think out to the right. Vanderbush out to the left, I believe. Two running backs now. 2:40 to go. Takes the handoff. And now screen pass to Bowie. And he makes the catch, but he's going to be about four short of the first down. We've got to get more gains than this, especially if you're not going to get out of bounds. Third and four, 2:19 to go. We still have all three timeouts. 74 yards shy of the end zone. We need a touchdown and at least one conversion. And now screen pass to Miller. He's got the completion. He's got it. I believe he got, yes, he got the first and got out of bounds. Isaiah Miller having a pretty good senior day. And did they say? Okay. Okay, so 70 yards, 2:07 to go, still three timeouts. Plainfield trailing by seven, two receivers each side. And now Newell drops back. He rolls right, he's under pressure, and he throws it. Did he make the catch? I think they said incomplete. Rivera was the intended receiver. That'll bring up second and 10, 2:02 to go. You know, I know that I'm spending a lot of time just cheering these boys on, but I always say I'm a fan first, commentator second. I hope you all don't mind. So now let's see, we got Vanderbush and Bowie out to the left. And now the snap. And now he's got the completion. He's got the first down, and I think he got out of bounds. No, they said he didn't get out of bounds. Shoot. The clock at least does stop to move the chains. No, they said that he didn't make it. So they said he's a yard short of the first. So now we got, I believe, an official timeout to discuss how much time should be out because of the okay, Plainfield took a timeout, and I think that the Artesians are going to want some time taking off the clock because the clock did stop. Are they saying got out of bounds? The other commentator crew said he didn't, but maybe I thought he did. Anyway, two timeouts left. So when we come back, Plainfield will have the ball. Let's see, 9:06 your time of day. Okay, so third and one. Plainfield has the ball at their own 39, trailing by seven, 1:52 to go in the fourth quarter. Man, I really believe that Plainfield would have gotten a one or two possession win under good weather conditions. You know, I was wrong when I expected that Martinsville to be the team more harmed by the rain. But we still have a chance to pull this out. Third and one, we got to get the first down here. The clock will stop to move the chains. We still got two timeouts on top of that. And now Starnes got the first down and about three more. So with 1:47 to go, the clock stops to move the chain. We'll have it at the 42 or 43, fresh on the downs, and they mark it at the 43. 1:46 to go and counting. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Now picks the handoff, rolls right, got time. Now, and he's under pressure, throws, and up! Did he, almost intercepted, almost interception. Thankfully, he dropped it. Trey Bernard, a senior for Martinsville, nearly got what would have been a nearly game clinching interception as it is now. Second and 10 for the Quakers at their own 43, 1:30 to go, trailing by 7. Come on, boys. Newell has barely thrown deep all night. I think he's going to have to take that shot because I think it's very unlikely that we're going to be able to, you know, get the touchdown on short passes and short rushes. It's going to be really hard for us to get a breakthrough rush here. And now Newell rolls right. Vanderbush with the reception, and I think he's got the first. He got out of bounds. He's going to be within a yard at the first. They're moving the chain. So we're in Martinsville territory, 1:25 to go. So first and 10 now at the 47. Caden Vanderbush, a big first down here on senior day. Vanderbush and Bowie now lying up to the left, I believe. That's Miller out to the right. And Starnes at the running, and Starnes running back to Newell and shotgun. Takes the handoff. Throws downfield. He's got Miller. Oh, man. It looks like there was a little contact, but probably incidental. The fans upset about it. Nevertheless, second and 10, at Plainfield at the Martinsville 47. It was worth taking the shot. Miller got a hand on it, but didn't come close to getting the grip. Come on. So now Vanderbush and Bowie out to the left. I believe that's Miller into the right. Starnes, the running back. 1:20 to go. 47 yards to go to tie it or take the lead. And now screen pass to Starnes, and he stays in bounds. I hope he got out. I couldn't tell from my vantage point. I think he did. If he did, he picked up about 4. And I guess he didn't, because Plainfield just took their second timeout. So that'll be about 3rd and 6 when we come back. The Quakers at the Martinsville 43, trailing by 7, 1:11 to go in the fourth quarter. Martinsville 13, Plainfield 6, and the rain picked up. It's getting pretty heavy again. Maybe that's why, maybe that will inhibit the passing. I don't know. Man. The thing is, I think with Martinsville being geared simply to take away the big play, which is probably all they need to do to win this game, it's going to be very hard for us to get a touchdown on rushes and short passes. Man, what a trip here. So 3rd and 6 for the Quakers, 1:11 to go, one timeout at the Martinsville 43, trailing by 7. We need a touchdown and the 1-point conversion to tie, the 2-point conversion to win. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Now Starnes takes it up, and he dives. He's going to be about a yard short. And he got the first. Okay. I didn't think he did, but he did. So the clock stops, move the chains, 1:05 to go. So let's get the play called, boys, so we can take advantage of the clock stops. So now Miller to the right, Bowie, and Vanderbush to the left, under a minute now. And now a handoff there to Starnes, but he's brought down for about 1, and I think Plainfield is just taking this last, Plainfield is taking this last timeout, 15.1 seconds to go. I don't like that call there. I don't like that call. I was hoping for something more adventurous, but anyway, now with 50.1 seconds to go, 2nd and 9 at the 36, following the 1-yard rush by Starnes, we're going to have to, we're going to have to probably, you know, it's gotten to the point now, we're probably going to have to either throw into the end zone, throw near the sideline, or at least throw up the middle, you know, past the first down marker, you know, so that if we do get tackled, at least the clock will stop and move the chains. Because we can't afford, you know, any rushes where we, where it takes us 10 or 15 seconds or more. just waiting for the set, for the ball to be set and getting it to get information and all that. So 50.1 seconds to go. Plainfield trailing by 7. 50.1 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. Plainfield second and 9 at the Martinsville 36. The second, two receivers to the left, one to the right, one running back. Newell takes it. He drops back. Throws over the left side. Oh, and he dropped it. He dropped it. He would have had a shot to get out of bounds and very possibly get the first down. So a very big third and 9. 45.8 seconds to go. Martinsville 13. Plainfield 7. We've got a fairly, now a moderate rain. It looks like it's subsided slightly, but it's still fairly steady. Two receivers to the left, one to the right, one running back. Newell in shotgun, 45.8 seconds to go, trailing by 7. Newell rolls right, looks, throws, and he throws it away. So what will they do now on 4th and 9 at the Whiteland 36, 40.2 seconds to go, trailing by 7 points. Martinsville, to their credit, they've played good defense, you know, really containing the Quakers. And they've done a good job taking away, you know, big play opportunities. If they win this game, I give them all the credit in the world, even though I think the rain did play into their favor. It helped them, I think, more than it helped us. But anyway, two receivers, deep side, one running back. The snap. Newell drops back. He's got time. He's got plenty of time. He throws into the end zone. I think it's going to be overthrown, but did he? Incomplete. So Martinsville takes over 30.9 seconds to go. One kneel down is all it will take. So Plainfield will lose the game. Heartbreaking senior day loss, first loss of the season. Plainfield clearly losing their momentum late in the season. It doesn't mean they're not going to do something big in the playoffs, but it means that they're going to have to do a lot of reevaluation. And spend these next 2 weeks, choose them very wisely, getting ready for that big showdown against Harrison, who probably will be entering the game on an 8-game losing streak, granted against a weaker schedule. The rain was a factor tonight. This was not a terrible performance by Plainfield, but a disappointing performance. The kneel down by Reynolds, and that's going to be it. So Martinsville, they go into the playoffs with a lot of momentum. We'll go winning 5 of their last 6 to finish 6-3, the identical record to Plainfield. Plainfield started off 5-0, ended the season losing 3 of 4. We'll be back with a recap and a look ahead to the playoff opener 2 weeks from tonight at Harrison after these final words from our sponsors on AudioSportsOnline.com. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football on AudioSportsOnline.com is made possible by the generous donations of our sponsors. We would like to recognize them and encourage you to support them. They are CJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Gunnell Financial, Remax Centerstone Julia Berberich, Midwest Pizza, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design Holly Porter, My IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, Ellison Associates Remax, Chipotle, and Double D BBQ. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated.
Did you get a picture like from this at all?
No.
Shoot. All right.
Why did that?
Okay, that's why you should always take one immediately after the game. You know what I'm saying? Take one from here and then go and try to get a closer up, but at least if not, you'll get a, you know, one from, you know what I'm saying?
This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers High School on AudioSportsOnline.com is made possible by the generous donations of our sponsors. We would like to recognize them and encourage you to support them. They are CJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Gannell Financial, Remax Centerstone Julia Burbridge, Midwest Pizza, BGW Construction. Thank you, sir. BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design, Holly Porter, My IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, Ellison Associates Remax, Chipotle, and Double D BBQ. Thank you, business partners. Your support of the student-athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Plainfield for a final time tonight, where your Plainfield Quakers have ended the season with a very tough and painful loss to the Martinsville Artesians by a score of 13-16 here on Plainfield Senior Day. It's a game that was played largely in rain, especially in the first half where there was a very heavy rain. It largely subsided in the second half, but picked up again to a large extent in the fourth quarter. It seems to hurt Plainfield more than it hurt Martinsville. I thought it would be the opposite because Martinsville relies more on its passing offense. However, Plainfield was never able to have more than moderate rushing or passing success. Martinsville played the majority of the game with the lead. Plainfield never led, in fact. And Martinsville, for the most part, just took away the big play for Plainfield. And toward the end, when it was necessary for Plainfield to throw deep, there was a pretty heavy rain, which is not good conditions for doing a lot of passing. So anyway, Plainfield was actually lucky that the game was not worse in the final score, because on Martinsville's first two possessions, they got inside the Quaker 10, but came away with no points. First time they got down to the 5, ended up getting back up to the 8 and missed a field goal attempt. Then on their second drive, they lost a fumble at around the Plainfield 6. However, on their third possession, they opened the scoring with 7:17 to go in the second quarter on a 7-yard rush by Braden Shrake. The 2-point conversion failed. The Artesians actually lined up to go for one, but there was a bad snap, and then the holder threw an incomplete pass. Then in the third quarter, with 2:45 to go, A.J. Reynolds faked the handoff to Braden Shrake and took it in himself 1 yard for a touchdown. Extra point by Rollins made it 13-0. Plainfield then, on their ensuing possession, finally started to show some signs of life on offense. They got the ball down deep into Artesian territory after overcoming a 2nd-and-17. Then they scored on a 3-yard rush by Luke Starnes. He scored at least 1 touchdown in 8 of the 9 regular season games this year with a total of 12. The 2-point conversion rush by Elijah Flowers favored, making the score 13-6. Then the Quakers had 2 further possessions, but they ended up punting, and then on their last possession threw into the end zone incomplete. Again, the final score 13-6. The individual statistics, first of all, for Plainfield, Hunter Newell playing on his senior day, not a bad game, completing 18 of 33 passes. That in itself is not so bad under these kinds of weather conditions, but only 118 yards, no touchdowns, and 1 interception, only a 2nd interception of the season, the first coming in the 4th quarter on our last possession last week at Whiteland. On receiving, Isaiah Miller did have 7 receptions on the senior day, but only for 33 yards. Jameer Bowie, 5 for 36. Brandon Hendry, 2 for 21. Luke Starnes, 2 for 15. On rushing, Luke Starnes had 23 rushes for 91 yards. So combined 91 yards with 15 yards receiving, Starnes at least did have over 100. All-purpose yards of the game, 106 to be exact. Then Hunter Newell had some very good rushing moments, especially after that 7 yards, after being sacked for 7 yards there on the fourth quarter drive that culminated in the touchdown. He went 9 for 22, despite, you know, a couple of big sack losses. Weston Weyrich rushed 5 times for 7 yards, and Cameron Grimes 1 for 0. Meanwhile, for Martinsville, A.J. Reynolds completed 11 of 16 passes for only 62 yards, but no touchdowns and no interceptions. On receiving, Hunter Stroud had 4 receptions for 44 yards. Josh Jones, 3 for 6. Braden Schrake, 2 for 4. And Cameron Willison, 1 for 10. On rushing, Braden Schrake obviously was the show. An incredible 30 carries for 131 yards and a touchdown. A.J. Reynolds carried 3 times for 46 yards and a touchdown. And he had negative yards on the season rushing coming into the game. But he had the 45-yarder on a trick play that set up the touchdown in the second quarter. And then he also on the fake handoff to Strake, he had the 1-yard touchdown rush. So, in conclusion, this is a game, you know, there are excuses and there are facts. Plainfield made some mistakes in this game, but basically this loss was due to the weather more than anything else. Last week's loss was due simply to being thoroughly, thoroughly out-hustled and out-executed, and being thoroughly unprepared for our opponent. Now, let me be very careful about that comment. I am not in any way saying that the kids did not work hard in practice after that Franklin win. I have no doubt that they did. Coach Bless on his show last week said they had a good week of practice. I know the kids worked hard. What I'm saying is they did not have any idea what Franklin was, or sorry, what Whiteland was going to throw at us. We were caught totally off guard by it, and it killed us. You know, we lost 2 possessions because of the 2 onside kicks that we looked completely unprepared for. That cost us the game. You take away those 2 onside kicks, I think we had a good shot to win the game. I think we'll have a good shot to win a rematch against them. This game, I think you take away the rain. I think, you know, you see, the thing is, because we have more balance than they do coming into this game, you know, we both have very good passing offenses. They have a good rushing offense, but not a great rushing offense. Braden Schrake is their only rusher of significance. And he's not great. I mean, you know, he averages a solid but unspectacular about 4.3 yards a rush. I thought we'd be able to contain somebody like that. But the thing is, he didn't fumble. I think there was the fumble on the snap. But other than that, and I don't know if that would count as a fumble for him or for the quarterback Reynolds. But other than that, you know, he kept the ball and he just consistently gained, you know, 4 or 5 yards a rush. And that was all they needed to keep the clock and the chains moving and for them to sustain long drives and get in position to score. And keep in mind, I mean, you know, we made enough stops that they, like I said, they failed to get any points twice when they were down to the 10. But Schrake, you know, carried the ball enough and with enough success that they were able to sustain, you know, the 2 drives, which was, it turned out, all they needed. And because we were playing from behind for more than 2.5 quarters, you know, we just, you know, we just weren't able to move effectively enough. Newell, obviously did not throw deep a lot, you know, in the rain. But like I said, because we had more, we entered with more of a balanced rush pass offense, I thought we would be more affected. But, you know, once they got the lead and we were playing from behind, and they were taking away the big play for us, and, you know, they didn't stop Sarsden in his tracks, but I mean, they held him just under 4 yards a carry, so they did contain him. And, that turned out to be enough because our passing offense just wasn't enough of a factor. You know, like I said, Newell did complete 18 passes, but they only went for 118 yards, so that's not even 7 yards of reception. So, Anyway, not an excuse, a fact, you know. And, you know, I think that when the coaching staff looks at this, maybe they'll find things that they could have done a little better to tweak things that would have given us a better chance to come back. But as it was, you know, once Martinsville got the lead, they took away the big play, and they sustained the drives, and we just didn't sustain drives enough. They contained Starnes enough, and they took away, you know, any long passes from us. So, I mean, the longest reception that we had all game was only 15 yards. That was by Hendry. So, and that's not even a guy who gets a lot of receptions for us. So, good job by Martinsville. Again, I think we would have won under good weather conditions, but I give the Artesians all the credit of the world. You know, football is about adapting to the conditions. You know, football is an outdoor game, an outdoor all-weather game. Well, I think all weather except for lightning. And part of winning is adapting to your conditions. Martinsville is the team that did that better tonight. So, Plainfield enters the regular season at 6-0. Obviously, we've lost a lot of momentum since it was 5-0. We've got 2 weeks off until we return to start the playoffs 2 weeks from tonight. I think the week off will do us some good. I think it will help us to take a deep breath, regroup, look at what went right the first 5 games and the 7th game, look at what went wrong 3 of the last 4. You know, both the things that were our fault and the things that were not, because there's a combination of the two. Last week's loss was more our fault. This week's loss was more circumstances. The Decatur Central loss, I think, quite frankly, you know, we made a couple of mistakes that hurt us, but I think, quite frankly, officiating might have been the biggest factor in that game. Although the moral of that story is learn is try to make it so that your game doesn't come down to hinging on officiating. But anyway, Plainfield, let's see, like I said, at halftime, Plainfield opens up the playoffs 2 weeks from tonight at Harrison in Tippecanoe County. We played there twice last year, so hopefully a lot of you remember the way up there. But regardless, I hope all of you will get up there. My weather forecast on my phone only goes up to 10 days, but just based on the law of averages, probably it'll be somewhere in the 50s for the game, so, you know. It'll probably be comfortable, you know, as long as you have a sweatshirt or a jacket. I hope you all will get out there. I think now more than ever, you know, it's easy to support a team when things are going right. It was easy to support the Quakers when they had that red-hot 5-0 start. Now it could be that the 1-4 finish or the 1-3 finish will dampen some of the enthusiasm. I hope not, but I hope that all of you now more than ever will get up there to Harrison. I hope we'll load up a few fan buses and that a lot of you will just get up there, take your neighbors, take everybody who you know, take everybody in your family, and fill up those visiting bleachers up there in Tippecanoe County with a couple of thousand crazed Quaker fans. You know, overflow the visiting bleachers, get a lot of people in the standing room. Let these kids know that you believe in them now as much as you did when they were 5-0. I do, and you should too, because they still have a lot of potential to do very well here in the playoffs. Tippecanoe County, like I said, it's about 80 miles north of here. It's where West Lafayette is. In fact, I think that Harrison's just about 5 miles from the Purdue campus, maybe not even that much. When Liam and I were up there both times last season, both for the regular season game in week 2, then for the playoff opener, I took him to Purdue both nights so we could go ride and film some elevators up there on the Purdue campus. My son Liam, a big elevator, elevator fanatic. Yeah, he filled in my word there. I hope you all will check out his YouTube channel, Elevator Dude. But anyway, Harrison was 7-1 coming into tonight. Their last loss was against us 7 weeks ago. They won their 6 subsequent games. I don't know how they've done tonight. But anyway, they are ranked number 5 this week in the AP poll compared to number 10 for us. They do have a weaker schedule. Keep in mind last week when we played them, They were 8-1, which they will likely finish this season. They were also ranked number 5 in the Class 5A as they are now in the AP poll. And we were 4-5 in the regular season. We still beat them. We beat them in the regular season this year also, and we can beat them again. You know, last year when we beat them, 35-28 in the playoffs, it avenged a 22-14 loss in the regular season. This year we beat them 15-14 in the regular season. We can beat them again. But we shouldn't take it for granted, especially because we know that they're entering the game, you know. I think they're going to enter the game a little bit overconfident because of their inflated record, because of their weak schedule in the North Central Conference. But we shouldn't, you know, they're going to have a good chance to beat us. I mean, heck, we only beat them by 7 last year at the playoffs, only beat them by 1 in the regular season this year. So I think it's about a 50-50 proposition. And I do think, though, that after going through 2 weeks to practice hard, reevaluate why we lost 3 of the last 4 games, regroup, catch our breath, you know, I think we're going to come back fired up. You know, we're going to feel like we're starting a new season, and we're going to go back, you know, with the optimism and enthusiasm we were playing with during those first 5 games, and also during the big win against Franklin a couple of weeks ago. So, anyway, let's take a look at the opponent coming into tonight. Harrison had rushed 237 times and passed 112. So, I talked about room 237 in The Shining tonight earlier. Harrison's rushed 237 times. So the rush-pass ratio is 2.1-1. Their starting quarterback is senior Calix Dixon, who in his first season as starter might be the only quarterback in the state who's more efficient than Hunter Newell. Dixon has completed, get this, 65 of 78 passes. That's 5 out of every 6, 83.3%, for 1,026 yards, 14 touchdowns, only 2 interceptions. That's incredible. You know, and he's getting, like, you know, 15 yards of reception. So it's not like he's just short throwing super short passes. So we're going to have to really, you know, really be ready for him. His leading receiver by far is senior Carter Canoy, who has 36 receptions for 628 yards and 8 touchdowns. He's followed by senior Carter Ferguson, not to be confused with our Carter Ferguson. This is Ferguson, who has 10 receptions for 178 yards and 4 touchdowns. So that's Ferguson as opposed to Ferguson. Senior Finley Huber has 12 receptions for 155 yards and 1 touchdown. Senior Jackson Swathwood with 4 receptions for 145 yards and 2 touchdowns. And senior Blake Soldati with 19 receptions for 91 yards. On the ground, Harrison is led by junior Carter Ferguson with 82 rushes for 550. Harrison is led by junior Carter Ferguson with 82 rushes for 556 yards and 8 touchdowns. Senior Carter Canoy with 32 rushes for 220 yards and 3 touchdowns. Aforementioned quarterback Calix Dixon has 47 rushes for 194. Calix Dixon has 47 rushes for 194 yards and 1 touchdown, and senior Ethan Pop has 39 rushes for 170 yards and 1 touchdown. I get tongue-tied when I run off a bunch of numbers in a row. So, let me give you a quick recap of where the other 5 Hendricks County teams are starting off the playoffs. We will have 2 games next Friday, so if you all don't want to wait 2 weeks to see a playoff game, we're going to have 2 here in this county. Our 2 3A teams are going to play against each other to start off. Danville, who is 6-2, will visit 7-1 and 8th-ranked Tri-West. That should be an outstanding game with an absolutely electric atmosphere. Not only are they both great teams, but they're also each other's fiercest rivals and longtime powers who have large, zealous fan bases. And so if you don't want to wait until 2 weeks from tonight, until the Plainfield at Harrison game, get out to Liston next week for what should be an outstanding playoff game. And then also we have another playoff game in the county in Class 2A. out in Clayton, Cascade at 5-3 will host 7-1 South Vermillion, the ninth-ranked team in the class. Then in 2 weeks from tonight, the two 6A teams open tournament play. Brownsburg, the number one ranked team for the last 6 weeks, with a record of 8-0 heading into the night's game against Hamilton Southeastern. However, they have a very tough first-round game at Ben Davis, the number three team in the state, who's 7-1. That game will be at Ben Davis in West Indianapolis. And ironically, the other 6A team in the county, Avon, has only a 1-7 record, but they actually have possibly a better chance to get a first-round win because they play at 2-6 Pike in northwest Indianapolis. So anyway, that's how all six Hendricks County teams are going to start the postseason. So in conclusion, 4 weeks ago when we beat Greenwood and we were 5-0, I was on top of the world. I got discouraged when we lost at Decatur Central 3 weeks ago, but I said it could end up being the best thing that ever happened to us. It could get us to fix some things that need fixing, and that could carry us into really reaching our potential the rest of the season. I thought I was right the next week when we destroyed Franklin 38-3 in a game that was played with a running clock for almost the entire second half. Then we came out, closed out the regular season with two losses. Last week, Whiteland came out with a far superior game plan. They took two possessions away from us by two surprise onside kicks that they recovered. They got 29 more plays than we did on offense, and that was the difference in the 22-8 win. Tonight, I think we would have won, you know, if not for the rain. I think the rain really harmed us tonight, especially once we started playing from behind. And then that was because we failed to contain Braden Schrick as well as I expected us to. But nevertheless, you know, obviously we closed the season on a downer, even with, with a big batch of mitigating circumstances. This loss does come with an asterisk tonight. Make no mistake about it. Again, not an excuse, just a fact. But again, you know, what you learn from it is you just got to figure out how could we have adapted better to the weather, you know. There was no problem with the effort in the kids, you know, tonight. We had a lot of bad luck and, you know, it hurt us, you know, more than I expected it to. But, you know, again, last year we were 4-5. We won a sectional. This year we're 6-3. We certainly can win a sectional. Harrison looks roughly about the level they were last year. And again, we beat them in week two. We can beat them again, especially because I think their soft schedule will end up hurting them, just like I think it did last year, just like I think Northview's soft schedule hurt them when we beat them. Just like I think Northview's soft schedule hurt them when we went out there to Brazil and beat them in the second round of the playoffs in 2014. So, you know, I think we're going to have a good shot to win that game. And then if we do, we'll play either at Decatur Central, which is by far more likely. If Lafayette McCutcheon does pull off the upset, if Lafayette McCutcheon does pull the upset, and they are 5-4, they've won their last four, starting to play better, so it wouldn't be a super monumental upset. If McCutcheon wins, they would visit us for the sectional championship. And beyond that, you know, there is so much parity in Class 5A this year. It is incredible. It is incredible there's so much parity in Class 5A this year. So, you know, I really think you've got about the top several teams, the two Bloomingtons, Whiteland, us, Decatur Central, Harrison maybe should be in the mix, I'm not sure. I think we have a roughly equal chance to win the section, to win the South bracket and go to the state championship. To put it in perspective, I mean, John Harrell's Indiana High School football website. John Harrell's Indiana High School football website still lists Plainfield as, you know, the favorite to win the sectional. It has us with a 36.35% chance. Decatur Central with a 30.03% chance. Harrison with a 23.79% chance. And McCutcheon with a 9.84% chance. And it also lists us with a 24.76 chance of winning the regional. That's nearly 1 in 4. And then a 12.17% chance of winning the semi-state, nearly 1 in 8. That means they think we have about a 1 in 8 chance to get to the state championship game, and then about a 6 point. And then they list us as a 6.41 chance to win the state championship. That's about a 1 in 16 chance. So we do have a chance, and you know. And by the way, the team listed with the biggest chance to win the state championship is Bloomington South at 27.39%. So there's not an overwhelming favorite. So with the parity, you know, if we, you know, play well every week, you know, if we get past the sectional, we would most likely play Whiteland or Franklin. Obviously, we destroyed Franklin last time. We can beat them again. Whiteland, I think we, you know, if we play them again, I think we have at least a 50%. If we play Whiteland again, I think we have at least a 50% chance to win, because I think we'll learn from what they did to us last time. And then, again, I think if we play one of the Bloomingtons in the semi-state, our strength of schedule could be the difference in pushing us over the top. And, you know, how we would do against any of the North Bracket teams, I have no idea. But, you know, last year, you know, the South Bracket winner, Whiteland, they lost the state championship game to Valparaiso by 4. So I don't think there would be a huge difference between, you know, the quality of the North winner and South winner. So anyway, you know, the next 2 weeks I'm going to be thinking a lot about that game, you know, with a lot of apprehension, you know, a lot of tension. But you know, I wish I knew now what the result was going to be. But, you know, then again, you don't want to go into a movie knowing the ending. So I guess the uncertainty is going to make it a lot more fun. And, you know, hopefully they'll pull it out, go a long way in this tournament. But even if not, the thing I want most is for them to play the best. You know, I think we have it's amazing to say this, but I think the parity in 5A is so much. I think we have a roughly equal chance to go out in the first round and to go all the way to the state championship game, you know. So with that much parity, it's a reminder that we just got to do the little things, do the one or two extra things that can make the difference in the game. And like we did in our first two home games this year, where we, you know, won them both by 1 point. So anyway, what's going to happen, who knows. But, you know, we can't control how our opponents play. We can't control the weather. But we can control the way we play, and that's what we've got to do. And now I'm going to close with this. Is, you know, if I were Coach West, I would leave the kids with this quote. It's one of my favorite movie quotes from all time, you know. The Back to the Future movies are largely comedies, but there are some really deep messages there, too. And I would quote the kids, you know, this line from the last scene of Back to the Future Part 3. Your future hasn't been written yet. No one has. Your future is whatever you make it. So make it a good one. So on that note, once again, your final score here tonight on Senior Day at Plainfield, your Plainfield Quakers lose to the Martinsville Artesians by a score of 13-6. Plainfield ends the regular season at 6-3, losing 3 of their last 4. Martinsville ends the regular season at 6-3, winning 4 of their last 5. The Artesians opened the playoffs 2 weeks from tonight down in Sellersburg against the Silver Creek Dragons. Well, this concludes our broadcast. As always, thank you so much for joining me, and I cordially invite you to do so again 2 weeks from tonight, not 1 week, but 2 weeks from tonight, as your Plainfield Quakers open the playoffs visiting the Harrison Raiders. Until then, for AudioSportsOnline.com, this is Lex Zorn reminding you, there is a difference only you can make it.